This is PFW in progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions...
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. It is, Tuesday?
Sure is.
During training camp, it's hard to figure out what day it is. But it is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium.
We'll see you.
Patriots will have a practice today at 2:30, which, as of right now, is open to the public. What's the weather forecast? We'll see you.
My guess is thunderstorms, because that's what it's been for a month and a half.
Here in downtown.
My
Seattle.
Lawn looks good.
Jesus Christ.
It's really brought back my grass. I was losing it for a while.
Yeah.
But
you were losing it.
It really has put a damper on training camp this year. I think we've had less days open to the public this year because of the weather.
Well, Bill said it's about the same as usual.
Well,
that's usually his answer for any question.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. No, I think I said that, Andy.
So today, tomorrow, and Thursday are your last days to be able to come to training camp. All 3 days, 2:30 practices, outdoors, hopefully. And as they will have today, a couple items last
night. That'll do it.
Jarvis Green, Mike Wright off the PUP list. That's good to know.
Absolutely.
And what other news do we have?
Why don't we turn it over to the new guy?
Jeff Shoke.
He took care of practice last night.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did.
You took in practice?
Yeah, I was there.
How was it?
Fascinating. Actually, it was okay. It rained for about, I would say, an hour. Really heavy, really hard. The field was soaked, and I think Brady kind of worked sparingly with the first group guys, and then he brought in Castle and O'Connell for some of the drills.
Gutierrez?
No, he was not there on the field at all. So
really?
I don't know if he just got the night off because he threw a lot of passes on Thursday or what
the case
might be.
The Hellenic flu?
That's probably good news for Matt Castle, I guess. But he did get some time to throw and wasn't particularly impressive again. But
it's one of those double-edged swords.
He just looks uncomfortable, particularly when he's throwing on the run. I don't really see a whole lot of confidence and decisiveness. And he threw a couple of poor passes. But you know what? Guys are having a hard time because he fumbled a snap last night. O'Connell fumbled a snap, and both he and the center ran laps. And then they stayed afterward, too, all three quarterbacks. So even Brady had to suffer for the rest of the guys not being able to handle the ball. Mm. And they had Wendell out there. Turk Wendell.
Ryan
Wendell. I know. I'm kidding.
We call him Turk. Andy doesn't know who Turk Wendell is.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, by the way. But Hochstein was out there with Copen. So the six of them stayed a little bit after practice for like 20 minutes and just worked on the ball transfer and that stuff so they can get it right next time and not have to run the field.
I missed Hochstein.
Hochstein was out there?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed him.
Did I say Hochstein? Yeah. I didn't mean that. I meant Dan Connolly. I apologize. Russ Hochstein was not out there. False information. If you read it on the web, you would have known.
He goes, Hochstein, yeah. Oh, wait, did I say Hochstein?
Oh, wait, did I mean that? I didn't mean that.
Why
sorry,
can't I be
sorry.
The director?
Dan Connolly.
Okay.
But there's only two guys left on PUP now, so it's Oliver Ross and Stephen Neal. So it's the list is really
whittled
down.
Not light out there?
No. Not for the evening session, but he was there for the walkthrough in the morning.
Right.
Yes.
Well, everyone. So that's probably, yeah.
No,
so I don't,
no,
not everybody was.
Not everybody
was there for the walkthrough. Right. Hochstein wasn't, and Neal wasn't. Mm-hmm. Sam Aiken, his guy who got banged up in the preseason game, he wasn't out there.
And Aiken, again, not out there last night, so that's probably not good news.
I watched about an hour of the practice when it really got heavy, Fred. I got out of Dodge with the rain. But I thought that the passing game looked like it was working in the elements, for one of the few times. It was... Ball handling was an issue last night for the receivers, for the quarterbacks, for everybody. And definitely, looking back, I bet Bill was happy to have an opportunity to play in that kind of get some work in that kind of an environment because they struggled, I thought.
Yeah, and they're probably going to see that during the regular season at some point. And also, I thought the running backs got some good, useful work in there, too, with Morris and Falk running the ball and just working on the run blocking and things like that.
So Morris
when you have that kind of weather, when you have that kind of weather, it's good to get those elements worked in, too. And, Morris is out there probably for the first time in a week, right?
What about Lamont?
He was working a lot on kick returns, kind of like the lead blocker with C.J.
Yeah,
Jones one-on-one back. That's kind of what his thing is. Yeah,
number two kick returner.
But he's lined up deep, and then he's in front. Yeah, Jones did have a rough night Thursday, but I thought he made up for it yesterday, actually.
I didn't see practice, but I can tell you definitively he didn't make up for it.
I don't mean
that was the worst portion
of
football I've ever seen on the planet.
But he had a better practice is what I'm saying.
He made physical mistakes, mental mistakes, everything.
Probably the worst fourth quarter any player could ever have. The worst quarter of football.
And poor, you know, Kevin O'Connell doing his best to scramble out of the end zone on that, was it 4th and 18?
Yeah.
He would have had the first down.
Yeah,
keep the drive alive.
Butterfingers and drop it.
Right. Butter chest.
Right.
He Brandon Merriweathered that.
But he had a couple of nice plays last night. I thought he made Hobbs look silly on a couple of plays because Hobbs was back out there working with the first team. So I thought Jones at least redeemed himself.
C.J. Jones was making Ellis Hobbs look silly?
A couple of plays. He got some nice separation.
Who was side on the corners?
That groin
style. Wheatley.
So Brian,
was it full contact or just half speed?
It was kind of, half speed. I wouldn't say they were laying people out. It wasn't that kind of practice, but they were in full pads, obviously. So it was competitive, to say the least.
And my moles are telling me that Tom Brady was a little bit of a jerk on a touchdown run, holding the ball out, and then got a minute later.
He had a little fun with Titus Adams because he scrambled out to his right, and there was nobody on that side for the defense. So somebody screwed up something. So he kind of walks into the end zone. He holds the ball out like Leon Lett, and then he gives the fake spike. And then the next play, he tries to throw in the flat, and Vrabel deflects it, and Titus Adams picks it. So it was a real good little comeback. And, of course, Titus Adams wasn't dumb.
Vrabel was also back with the first group during the practice, too. He took Pierre Woods' spot, as expected.
So for this game coming up on Sunday, we're looking probably for two series for Brady and the first teamers.
Yeah.
Depending on what they do.
They're going to
get at least one.
Maybe a quarter.
Yeah. I think with Bill, it's probably an amount of snaps.
Right.
Yeah.
If they go three and out, they'll be back out
there.
If
they put together a 15-play touchdown drive to open the game, that may be all you see of them, depending on how many snaps he wants to get. But I would definitely think that they're going to get some work.
Rodney Mayo still looking good.
His name is Gerard.
Why do I keep I had a roommate Rodney Mayo. I just keep calling Gerard Mayo Rodney
Was
Mayo.
Was he called that, or was that his name?
I was going to say, he was called Rodney Mayo.
His name was
Tim Smith.
Yeah, right.
We called him Rodney.
No, he actually skipped town, this kid.
Really?
Yeah.
You are a fascinating character.
So he owes you some money?
I took him in, and then he skipped town.
Sounds like somebody else we know.
I'm just a sucker.
So you have bad judgment.
All right.
But Mayo does look good.
Yeah, he was fine.
Again, talking yesterday after the walkthrough in the morning, continuing to say and do the right things, talking about watching film and being a real serious student of the game, and at the same time focusing on all the things he needs to correct. He felt like he left some plays on the field, and Mike wrote about that too in his update. The guy so far has been anything you could hope for. He's played well on the field, he's played well at practice, and he's saying and doing all the right things off the field. I mean, that's what you're looking for in a first-round pick.
Freddie, I told people yesterday in the podcast, go buy the authentic. Don't waste your money on the replica. Go buy the authentic Gerard Mayo jersey.
Of course, Flanders might have that ready for you by the time his third Pro Bowl season comes around.
By the time he's put in Canton, and you can hold that up, because that's when you'll get it.
Goodies, Flanders has goodies.
All right. Yeah. We should get Ken on the show and find out what the good merchandise is for this coming season.
How would Ken know? Reebok stuff that's out.
Reebok's coming out with some new stuff, so
yeah,
maybe Ken could give us a little preview. That would be nice. By the way, speaking of,
why are you looking at me for that?
Speaking of in-house operations, we were kind of talking about this before the show started. The opening ceremonies for the Olympics was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And I really think Gary should try some of that stuff.
Well, it would have been even more amazing if it was real, evidently, when you guys are telling me.
For the
opening
game, can't we have like 2,800 drummers out there? And
I'll take one.
You know, that would be...
I'll take something mildly entertaining.
He gets so mad. Oh, I just love teeing up Andy. It's great.
That's not my fault, Gary. He's setting me up. Okay, let's move on. Real quickly, I just wanted to touch on the Aaron Rodgers. Had his first start
Aaron
last night.
The Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I was going to say the situation, but looked phenomenal. Could not have looked better. Made great throws. I know he had a pick, and everybody said he bounced.
Hit
a guy in the hands. It wasn't his fault. He looked comfortable out there. I think he's in for good things. What'd they go, 13-3 last year? Yeah. 14-2 this year. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Right,
calm down.
Super Bowl champs.
I'd like to shoot
you
down. That
would be something if the Packers do better than
I'd like
the
Jets. To shoot you down, but they in will, that conference, probably. Any team could do that. I just really right. don't think.
The Super Bowl champs aren't even going to make the playoffs.
The depth is not there in that conference. They have some good teams, but I don't think the depth is there like in the AFC still. Still think there's a big difference.
New additions to the Patriots, Jeff Schoedt. What do we know about him?
Has a Super Bowl ring from the New York Giants. Was on the practice squad last January.
Not bad, huh? 3 weeks on the sideline practicing
you
to get a
you
ring
get like
out
a $25,000
yeah,
ring for 3 weeks
good
of
investment.
Work.
Good for him.
Played he hasn't seen it yet, but yeah, he's formerly
the wife,
up
the wife
Broncos.
Is parading it around.
He was a, 2004 fifth-round pick?
Fifth-round pick.
Broncos.
From the Broncos. And
been hurt a little bit, played a little bit, 14 career
got
games.
Got banged up and then kicked around
not a real big
bit.
Guy, 5'10", 180.
Well,
they
one
need
of the
some,
reasons
they
picked
some
him
depth
up
there,
is because Tank Williams got hurt, and he's out for the season on IR. I know Bill would never answer this question, but it's you know, does this change what he thought he might do on defense this year?
No.
No. You don't think Tank Williams being out, he was kind of like that guy that was going to play
I think
maybe
that he would have done some
linebacker
things,
and safety? Or
yeah, I mean, I think he would have done some things, but I kind of agree with Andy. I think that he'll just use someone else in that
the
role.
Only thing
right.
I think it
Brandon
might
Merriweather,
is
James Sanders, they both have
Rodney.
Versatility.
You know,
well, Rodney, I think, always has done that. But if you had visions of using both of them in the same way, I think you can still use Sanders in that way and have Merriweather deep or have Merriweather being used in that way and have Sanders deep.
So you don't think this alters any plans that they had on defense?
You're like the SPFW
people. No, I think
for some reason, everybody thought Tank Williams was
the
difference between
any,
his defense being
wrinkles.
Great. And
I think it helps. I think it helps on Antoine Spahn a bit. I think he's more of a lock now to make the roster, and he's going to be that fourth safety. I mean, if Williams were still
didn't
here, he'd
a
play a little bit
night,
at linebacker, just a little bit in certain situations, and he'd be like the fourth or fifth guy on defense.
Okay, so not a big deal.
They can find a lot of guys like that.
Other than for Tank Williams, not a big deal.
Yeah, it sucks for him, but
sucks for him because it also might be his career because he's now had three major knee injuries in the course of like a 3 or 4 year span. And
it's not a good thing, Fred. I mean, it hurts your depth and all that stuff. I just think that I think Gerard Mayo, and I know that we're probably over the top already on this, but I think that his ability to play on all three downs, and he's definitely going to be part of sub packages because of his speed. I think that lessens that blow a little bit. I think that's what they wanted Tank Williams for, is to have a linebacker be able to cover backs going across the middle. And I told you that I talked to someone before training camp about that, and they talked about Tank Williams. But then they said that was obviously, you know, we were able to get Mayo after that. So I don't think it's a huge deal. I agree with Andy. I think they have other guys that can do it too. It hurts your depth, but I think they have other guys that can do those things that Bill wanted to do.
If anything, maybe it expedites getting Junior Seau back into the fold to get some added depth at linebacker.
Over the weekend, Seau on a San Diego station.
Yeah. Double X.
Saying, Double X Sports, saying that if he does come back, it'll only be with the Patriots.
Today, Junior!
But
Gary.
Also making it pretty clear
that creativity
he's not
to the pregame
physically
term.
Ready yet. So, you know, you have to question if he does come back. At what point, you know, would he come back and be effective?
I don't know. Andy and I have kind of talked about it. During the season.
In season. He'll be here.
What do you think?
Because of injury? Or?
Well, something, yeah,
maybe.
Whatever.
Maybe or maybe Mayo hits happen. A brick wall and all of a sudden you want to limit his reps or anything.
Maybe they go 3 weeks and all of a sudden their third down defense isn't that great. And they're looking for a guy to come in and do some of those things.
Or well, you I say mean, that, Teddy Bruschi's a little bit slower you say, I'd like to get Seau back in here for some of those third, whatever.
Now, do you think Seau is going to be much faster than Bruschi?
I think he's 100 times faster.
Yeah,
don't I just
you?
Don't think
yeah.
if you're going to play him at the expense of Mayo, then it's not really something.
No, I don't think you will. I think it'll be at the expense of Bruschi.
But you do have
Bruschi.
To worry about that rookie wall.
Around like December.
I'd be more concerned about Bruschi at this point.
In full disclosure, the same guy that told me the thing about Tank Williams told me that they probably wouldn't do that with Junior during the season because he would feel like both Junior and Bill would feel like he needs at least a little bit of training camp. Or preseason.
I say it comes in the end of August.
I'm just saying, if you're trying to get younger and faster, you have Pierre Woods having a good camp. Why can't Woods get those reps or at least get an opportunity to get those reps?
Inside versus out.
Pierre Woods can't play inside.
No.
He's one of those long outside guys.
And I don't think he's a guy that's going to chase backs around either.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, probably not a lateral guy. No. Okay.
Why do you hate Junior Seau?
Pierre Woods is having a good camp, though, Mike. And I think he talked about working on some of his pass rush things, too, yesterday. I think he's coming along. I think he's going to be part of the defense, which if you had asked me even a month ago, I probably would have said no.
Yeah.
That was one of the big questions going into camp. Special teamer, yeah.
Where are we going this weekend?
Tampa. Fred, you really are.
Has no interest in football discussion because just interrupts to say, where are we going this weekend?
No, I'm just wondering what matchups we might look for that would answer some
questions. He didn't know where we were going.
I don't even know where we're staying. I don't have the list.
Oh, boy. Is that a bad thing?
It's some place called Mons Venus.
Well, that's what I want to know. Am I going to be able to go or not? You know, if we're in St. Pete, I can't. Yeah, that's a long cab ride.
Last time it was like an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Me either. I'm not that much of a creep.
I don't remember where we
were.
Yeah,
you are. Sure you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
All right, so
I've matured.
The Everett boys are very disappointed that I'm not a lock to go. They're very upset at me.
It's not like it used to be.
That's true. You're right about that.
The new ordinances.
What does that mean?
You don't allow
new laws.
The contact.
Oh, you can't grope anybody now, so you're not
you
going?
Picked that up.
I guess I go back to Texas and see Treasures again.
I'm glad Eric's a great addition to the show.
Why would he say I missed it?
Fred said the new ordinances, and you go, what does that mean? I go, the new laws. Eric laughed.
Paul Roger over here.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Webradio@patriots.com. We already have a long list of emails coming in.
Gary, can you get the audio from the Belichick press conference?
Apparently.
Oh, he flipped me the bird.
You see now.
I'm efforting that.
The part about where he – should we talk about it now or wait?
Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, let's set it up.
We have a surprise. We have Bill Belichick at his finest.
Absolutely 1,000% in the right.
Scrippers wants to know how Flanders justifies $250 for authentic jersey.
Well,
they're very
Reebok
expensive.
I was going to say, that's not his fault.
Yeah.
They're nice.
I like to blame a lot of stuff on Flanders. That ain't one of them.
They are nice.
They're a better fit than the replicas.
Oh, yeah. And they, I mean, they're like
they
layered, all that sewn on. Like the numbers and letters are like layered.
But
sewn
you can't
on.
Really wear it like out. It's special occasions because it's so heavy.
Well,
you know,
I
it's not like you can go
after
a
certain
ball
age.
It.
I mean, that's one of those things that you wear to a game.
Davio's for two.
Yeah.
You wear that fourth jersey on.
I think you wear that to a game and a game only.
Right.
Kamani,
or like at your house during a game.
If you want, like a party or whatever. You're having a party and guys
over
here.
Don't mow the lawn with it.
Do you ever wear any shirts?
Do I ever
jerseys.
Wear
we know
shirts?
The answer.
Yeah.
Do I look?
Remember the Elway that was painted on?
That's what I'm getting at, idiot.
That.
Yeah, what age
size
do you think
small?
Is the appropriate age to say?
After 21, probably. You should stop. I haven't
worn a game?
Let's put on a T-shirt.
I got no problem with it.
Like if you were a Giant season ticket holder.
Yeah.
You'd have a Shockey jersey on, no question.
Probably.
You loved him. Okay,
I do love
thank
him.
You.
I still love
see,
him.
See, I think
the
there's, nothing,
there.
There's nothing wrong with wearing. I don't care how old
love
you are. I don't think there's anything wrong
part.
With wearing those shirts to games.
To games.
Now,
game.
When you have guys walking around on the street with.
That's a company cookout.
That's a little odd.
And it's you
and
work
it's
for
another
one company
team.
And it's for the other.
Wow, that was ridiculous. That was, as Mendenhall is, ridiculous.
Yeah, no, to games is fine. I'm talking about general use. That's
just
beyond
out to
a
like
certain age.
The grocery store?
No.
Yeah, watch the bar at night.
Yeah, I think that's a little
show
a little
some
odd.
Class.
Get Tony Maserati to chime in on this.
Kamani wants to know, he says it's been over 5 weeks since Eric got back from Egypt and still no pictures of the pyramids. How long does it take to upload pictures? And when is the new site going up? And don't say soon. That could be next year. And
what
how are you
site?
Paying
well,
for so, all
what the hell are we talking about? Your personal site?
Sad, yeah.
You coming out with a new site?
Well, yeah, eventually.
What was wrong with the old site?
Nothing wrong with it. I'm going to add some stuff to it and do something
so when,
different.
I want to see some Egypt pictures.
Well, so,
you never showed
so
it.
So do I, but I don't actually physically build the site. I have friends who
no,
have the
pictures. I just want to see some pictures.
I know that, but
you don't have a photo album.
For the love of
just get a Facebook, and we'll all
I
just
love
chime
when,
in.
I love when Eric gets all flushed.
You don't have a photo album. You didn't print out any pictures or anything.
I did. I brought them in the day after I came back.
Never showed me.
I saw them.
Everyone in the office
Chris
was
saw
there.
Seeing. Remember Chris
never
liked the yodels
me.
Or whatever the phallic. What was those things? He
phallic
liked?
Symbol
that he collects. Chris Ferreira.
Oh, onks.
Onks.
Yes.
Phallic onks. Yeah, it's the same.
I'd like to see some.
It's Eric that collects phallics.
Now, you're not the kind of person you go on vacation and every picture is a picture of you.
It's just the opposite.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's pictures of
people
the girl.
People go to these places and they take partially. Pictures of themselves.
That's what I would do.
No, so have those
wait,
been
wait, wait, wait.
Yeah,
wait.
I'm a little,
are you telling me you wouldn't take a picture of yourself like in front of the pyramids?
I did
oh,
that.
Oh, maybe that.
I did that.
I'm not just saying standing
a,
like in a street
it.
Doing nothing. I mean, you're going to see things.
Yeah, but a lot of times you
want
to see what you saw.
What in the hell is going on?
No, I'm with you, Fred. All my pictures are artistic pictures.
Right.
They're not tourist pictures.
Of course they're artistic. They're not
just giving the people
pictures.
What they want.
tool.
I just want the memory of, you know, what I saw.
Right.
I don't need, you know, any
art,
artistic balance.
Well, that's exactly
what I'm talking about.
I want to be there. Not me.
I don't care about memories of me. First of all, there's nothing worse.
I don't want memories of me.
There's nothing worse than...
Isn't that what memories are?
Because no, if they aren't, if you're not involved, then you can't have the memory.
I agree with you.
No, you. I want to see what I remember what I saw there. I don't need me.
In other words, you don't want to look at it like an out-of-body experience where you're looking
at
yourself.
It's validation.
But
really
if you're
there,
not in it, then why don't you just buy a book that has pictures of Egypt?
I take the pictures for myself.
Nobody believes me that F them. You know,
then just buy postcards and books because you... I mean, that's what you're seeing.
No, but you took the pictures with your own camera.
Yeah. See, that's why I think you put yourself in it so people say, oh, there's you at the pyramids.
It. It's useless.
It's a personal touch to it.
I'm with you.
I mean, otherwise, just buy a freaking book.
Because I got to be honest with you. I'm not really interested in seeing anyone. And this is no offense to you, but I'm not really interested in seeing vacation pictures for anybody.
Right.
I just don't like being in pictures.
I want to see my own, but I don't necessarily need to give them to anybody else.
I only show them to people
Stuttgart,
who ask. Anyway.
Germany writes in just a quick question on international shipping for the PFW shirt. How much is it? I guess it's not $3, but couldn't find any other info. Don't worry about it. The price is the price. We'll take care of it. So just order it.
It's worth
from
more than
PFWinProgress.com.
Get a couple. They make nice Christmas
gifts.
We've
built a little shipping price in there, so don't worry about it. We'll take care of that, Frank. Just place your order and you'll get your T-shirt.
Yeah, we got to talk about that website, Fred. There's an issue. I think there's a bug in the system. Because you have way more supporters than anyone else.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is really embarrassing.
It's like 15-4-3.
Oh, on the map. Wow. Yeah.
You know the little map on PFWinProgress.com?
No, I haven't gone to the site in a while.
Well, the map now, when you like you go to the whole map, and if you click on Fred, it shows you,
you have 12 friends.
And your little face pops up in like Russia, Europe.
Okay.
And you have like 12
you
or 15.
You have 12.
Right.
I have 4. Andy has 3, and Eric has 3.
So clearly it's broken. It's not allowing people
why
to
is,
pick
now, why is that broken? You just don't believe people would like me?
Right.
Well, it's broken if I have none, so.
Well, you're already getting
on this. You
just got here, though.
Doesn't matter. You've been here for a week. I can't even get on the intro for PFW in Progress.
You got to earn your way onto that.
It took me a year and a half
for now.
Dude, don't even start that. Wait to see how long you're here.
That's true.
It's a valid point.
It's a probationary period.
I was going to say, Eric's been on for
I may run myself out of town before I get on the intro. That's a possibility.
You don't need to waste any work.
Alejandro from Bogota.
He's one of your guys where your face pops up.
Is he?
Yeah. They all love you, Freddie.
Hello, Fred, allegedly. Paul, Andy, Eric, Gary, and Mike. Yankees suck, parenti. Fred,
you
did you finally
me?
See
what?
The new Indiana Jones movie? I need to know your opinion. No, I did not see it.
Fred.
However,
you still
I
haven't
did see
that?
The Dark Knight.
I have not seen
and
that
it's
yet.
The best effing superhero movie ever. Ever. Ever.
That's twice now you've used effing.
That's okay.
All that's right. Twice in the show?
He said F people who don't want to see pictures
right.
of him. Or
you haven't, been around, you haven't been around a long time, but usually
he actually says
the word.
No. Yeah. And he says, that's right. I said it.
He's reined himself in a little bit.
Once. But, no, Dark Knight was the
I want
best
to see the Dark
ever.
And it's now third biggest ever and well on its
is it
way
really?
To...
Unbelievable.
It's at like $428
I can't
million.
Is it going to sink the ship?
The,
it could.
Better than
that's
the original Spider-Man?
That's $600 million it needs to get to.
Right. It's going
to
sink the ship,
blows
is that what you said?
Even without Kirsten Dunst?
Blows it away. My question is about Andre Tippett's induction speech. I don't follow the Boston media that closely, but I was somewhat surprised of his praise for Ron Borges. As far as I can tell, and maybe I'm wrong, Ron is the guy that everybody loves to hate, and he embraces the feeling of rejection. He is the quote-unquote anti-patriot. Could you explain where does Borges really stand? Well, the reason why Andre mentioned him was because Ron is the guy that has the vote in this area, right. And every writer has to argue for a player. And throughout the past few years, Ron Borges has been making the case for Andre Tippett.
Rightly so.
So that's why Tippett went out of his
and
way
it's
to
a very
Ron Borges.
Political
and he does a really
process.
Good job.
So the guy actually has to navigate the waters of that room cautiously and with some experience.
He has to campaign.
Because
really
if
does.
You piss people off, it's very – I'm not saying it's the right way. It should
it's
be
a
whatever.
Bad system.
But – it's a skill in presenting a guy like Tippett, who's not a, you know, they tell the joke about, I present John Elway, and the guy sits down and because he knows he's a first ballot law call. Tippett, obviously, there was some negotiation, some debate about
it's
his career,
bad,
and his value, and Ron was the one who did all of that.
You say it's a bad system.
Well, I think that I don't mind the writers being involved, although I wish there was a better way. I wish there was a way you could put some sort of committee together of players or of coaches or something, but I guess there is no perfect way anyway, but if you're going to do the writers, I think the way the baseball does it is better. you know, you have a much larger group and you just vote. I don't like this just for the way that Andy just talked about it. It's campaigning. It's all this backroom deals. You vote for my guy, I'll vote for your guy. You know, that's not the way you should determine who a Hall of Famer is. But I would also say in terms of Borges, I think he's a controversial figure here, obviously, for some of the negative stuff that he's written about Belichick. But I bet if you ask the players, all of the players, they would feel similar to the way Andre Tippett talked about him, because he's been very pro-player throughout his journalistic career. Guys like Richard Seymour, Tom Brady, guys that have been around that locker room for a while, Richard Seymour especially. I think they probably have pretty good relationships with Borgie.
And he knows his boxing, so I like him.
He does know his boxing.
He knows his football,
too.
He's as connected as anyone you'll ever want to meet.
He
unfortunately let a personal dislike of Belichick really cloud his writing at times, and unfortunately that took away from what I think was probably the best football writer we had in this era.
Easily. Not even a
close
second.
I would agree, 100%.
Yep. When he was on, he was on.
And he did it to himself. I mean, we shouldn't feel sorry for him. He did it to himself.
Yep. Although I still say, and I'll continue saying it, what he did I don't think is in the spirit of plagiarism. I don't think it was.
I would tend to agree with you.
I don't think it
but
was.
But I also don't think – I think there were other factors at play there.
Well, there might have been. I'm just saying that one incident.
The relationship with the team.
I don't believe that was plagiarism. That's what it was to me.
Yeah.
But that was just a way to get him out, I think.
Laziness. Might have
been. Laziness. Yeah.
But I think if someone went to him and said, did you take this from someone? He would have said, well, yeah, from the note service.
Yeah,
I don't think I don't think he had any desire to try to hide what he was doing.
No.
And if you were setting out to plagiarize someone – you certainly would do a better job of covering your tracks.
And, you know, so the bottom line is that he has been the guy in the room arguing for Tippett over the last few years. So that's why Tippett mentioned
him. And he's now on the Veterans Committee, apparently. So there's some thought that he will be presenting and discussing Gino Cappelletti as a potential Hall of Fame candidate.
That's going to be a tough sell.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that.
You know, I love Gino. I'd love to see him in there, but I don't know.
That'd be cool to have another guy that we really know personally as a Hall of Famer.
But do you think he's got a shot?
No.
I don't either. But I don't know how that Veterans Committee works. I don't know what the parameters are.
I know that once they make it, they make it. If they're recommended by – shut up.
There's another Andyism.
If they're recommended –
once they make it, they make it.
If they're recommended by the Veterans Committee, they're like then just locks to make it.
Right.
It's the way it works. Again, I don't know if that's right or wrong. But
and that's not a guarantee that every year there will be one.
No. No, no, no. It's a whole separate sub-process.
So that would be great.
Because who's next, Patriot Fred?
That would be eligible? Dan Bledsoe.
Well, I just mean who's next in general.
What about Coates?
Does Ben Coates have a chance? Does Bruce Armstrong have a chance?
You know, Ben Coates seems to think he has a chance.
He certainly does.
Ben Coates thinks he's a lock.
Thanks for the Patriots Hall. I'll keep it in mind when I go into
Canton. Ben Coates is the next one up, by the way, because he retired before Bledsoe.
You know, I guess you got to compare him against other tight ends.
Someone I was talking to thinks Armstrong's got
Coates in like the top five or top three at
his
tight
numbers,
end all time?
That's what I'm saying.
In several categories?
His problem is the length of dominance.
Yeah, his numbers are comparable to some of the guys that are in there, but they don't really stack up in my mind. Like Kellen Winslow, Shannon Sharp, some of those guys' numbers far exceed him.
Yeah,
I don't know. See, I'm talking more in terms of the modern era where they caught a lot of passes.
And I guess that the argument they're trying to spin for Coates is that he's an all-around tight end.
Yeah.
He's not just
Shannon
Sharp. I'm going to split out wide and catch a bunch of passes. He's a legitimate,
he sure was.
I can block, I can catch.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember the way he was used. He certainly wasn't a in-space tight end. He was a guy that had two linebackers draped on him, and Drew would just throw it at him.
Yeah.
He was part of the downfall of Drew Bledsoe, in my mind, because it got so easy to just throw at Ben Coates. Six guys on him, I don't care, he'll catch it, and he did.
What happened when Coates didn't have Bledsoe throwing him the ball?
Is Borges the guy that would also argue
what about the first 3 years of his career?
Oh, I don't count that.
Now, who would argue for Coates? Would it be Borges again?
Or yeah.
Not like Hector Longo or something?
No.
So I thought he was turning
He's
that
not,
in.
Apparently.
Oh. Hector Longo.
Hector Longo.
Why did you make
fun of Hector for?
Just a name that came to mind. Who's the guy now that argues for?
I believe it's still
it's
Borges.
Still Borges, even though he doesn't write in this area?
All he has to do is...
No.
I talked to somebody else.
Oh.
All he has to do is
be writing or be in the profession.
And he's doing something for
NFL.com.
He's
doing
NFL.
like NFL.com. But I guess technically speaking, as long as he writes something for RonBorges.com,
oh,
he can maintain his voting.
That's interesting. Because I know last year, we talked to him a lot last year.
Joseph Hart.
And we were one of the, remember when we got to the convention center, mm-hmm. we all saw him.
Yep.
And he kind of filled us in, and
right.
he expressed optimism of the way the whole meeting went and everything. And he said that was it. It really meant a lot to him because he felt like Tip was probably going to get in. This is before we knew for sure. And he expressed even, this is a great way to go out. This would be the last time I'm doing it, and it'd be great to get Tip in. And I evidently something has changed if he's going to still do it.
Maybe you can take over, Paul.
I don't have the tools or the talent.
I think that may have also led to...
Yeah, what do you need
to
do?
Tools and talent.
You have to know a lot more than I do.
You're a good sucker-upper.
Oh, I don't know. You can
you
do
know
the
that
well
See,
enough.
To me, no, it's not about numbers. It's not about research. To me, what made Ron Borges, I think, special or different was that he... And he would say this all the time. I don't know that much about football, but I know a lot of guys that do. And I don't have that resource of guys that I can pick up the phone and talk to. Whether you agree,
you call me
respect.
Hey, all right. Yeah, when he brings like some guy I never heard of to me, I go, I don't know.
You know, when you can pick up the phone and call Charlie Casserly and Charlie Army and Al Davis and you know, countless other executives around the league and get a real honest.
I guarantee, Paul, if you're a writer that's in that room and you're calling anyone for some information and you tell them why, they will pick up the phone because this is important to everybody.
But Ron calls them like at their home during dinner.
Yeah, don't you think it's different than, you know, not necessarily. I don't want to call a guy up and say, hey, what do you think of Ben Coach as a potential Hall of Famer?
Say, look,
I want to be talking to a guy.
Paul's going to get the much information.
I agree with you, Fred,
but
he's going to get the political press release they're putting out on why he should be in, not, well, that guy was a piece of bleep. And
right.
Blah, blah, blah,
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a perfect example. Remember when Ernie Zampezi was here?
Right.
Okay? Ernie Zampezi has been around this game for a long time. Brian and I were talking to him one day. And we were talking about Coates. It's funny that we can kind of tie it together. And then he obviously spent a lot of time with the Air Coryell offenses in San Diego and Kellen Winslow. And, quote, Ben Coates isn't a pimple on Kellen Winslow's you-know-what.
Mm.
Okay? So that's the kind of
stuff. I guess you do know. Okay.
You're not going to get.
On this show.
You know, I'm not going to be able to call a guy up and say, what do you think of Ben Coates? What I want and what I would need.
You want the unfiltered assessment.
Yeah, but you need a relationship with a guy to be able to I'm sitting down one day, I'm having lunch with Bill Belichick, and he's talking about four or five guys, and he doesn't know that I'm basically probing for information. I don't have anybody really that I could do that.
They don't know you that well. This is important to everyone. And if you were calling about a guy – and the guy on the other end of the phone, it's someone that he really doesn't think deserves to be in, I think he'll tell you.
Besides the fact that I work for Patriots Football Weekly, which I think would exclude me anyway.
Yes, because you have to be in the PFWA to be in it.
And we got kicked out of that, right?
We're only in the PFW.
Kicked out.
Yeah.
We're not allowed. Were you in the PFWA?
Yes.
You're not anymore.
You're not anymore.
Damn it.
You dropped the A.
Those DBs kicked us out years ago.
We paid our dues, or these guys paid their dues.
How much did I pay for dues? Flush right down the friggin' toilet.
I never paid my dues.
Well, that's why you get kicked out.
I wasn't kicked out. I was never in.
I don't remember sending any checks to anybody.
They asked you.
I just got all the emails.
I never got any actual accreditation.
Andy was in it.
Were you in it?
Yes.
And they asked you not to be in it?
Yes. I don't pay people to be my friend.
Did you pay your dues?
Yes.
So you weren't in a fraternity?
Right up until they didn't want me to pay them.
Because same reason I'm not in a fraternity. Yeah. I don't pay people to be my friend.
I mean, they disregard the fact that there's writers in that organization that write for major papers who are way more house organs than any of us will ever be. But that doesn't bother them. They got that guy from Houston who's like, the freaking GM.
John McClain?
Yeah, he's like the president of it.
Ridiculous.
You could not get farther up a Houston Texan ass than him.
What are the odds? Right. Well, that's two for you in the last 2 minutes.
I thought
minutes.
That word was just okay.
It is, but, you
just think, abuse it.
They say it on Family Guy.
Yeah. I'd like to think you could come up with another way to say that. With
they
a little
also
more
say
class.
A lot of things on Family Guy.
Well,
that
if we're applying the Family Guy rule, then here we go.
Right,
okay.
The Family Guy rule is pretty loose. It's sort of like the South Park rule.
Yeah, you don't want to go by the Family Guy rules.
It's a cartoon.
So is this. Really.
Is that officially our stance on what we're – if they say it on those two shows, we can say it on this show?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't watch it that much.
Lesbian
we'll have to go over the lore.
How about you're sleeping with a dude, bleep. The well, F-A – the word you call
hey,
a cigarette.
Oh, no, we can't say that.
They say that on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
So
– It's a bundle of sticks. That's all it is.
Yes, Fred.
All right, 12:35. That means we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Yes, Fred. Exactly.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Reds. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
There is someone for everyone out there.
Says the goddess, Lori Baranski.
We're going to get you a nice profile.
I don't know. The font is real small.
Yeah, he's small font. You know what they say about guys with small font, Lori.
Kind of like guys with big feet.
You should know I got a little wiener.
What the? Who actually said that?
Andy.
Oh.
Well,
No.
All right, so it makes sense
I
now.
I didn't want to make a comment.
Right.
So, because yeah, well, you already knew, of course.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
You guys would do this. Oh, God.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Emails are just pouring in. Dana is from Brighton, England, but he's on the Cape right now, and he says he wants to come to the 2:30 session. Will the weather hold out? Gary, you got a weather report?
We're in a concrete room underneath ground level.
We're in cell block D.
Gary might know what's going on. He's got to get the PA announcements out if it's public.
The only thing missing is like the cast of Oz.
If you like cold overcast weather, come on out. because it's sucky outside, but it's not going to be sunny.
Sucky.
It is. That's the forecast. Sucky. Low 60s.
But it's probably also sucky on the Cape, so it's not like he's going to the beach and missing out on a nice day.
I actually heard that it was supposed to clear later this afternoon.
Oh, I heard thunderstorms again.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, thunderstorms.
I've been hearing that every year.
I think it's iffy,
day,
but yeah. I would take the chance. Come on down.
buy a jersey
else,
while you're here.
A Mayo.
Visit the concession stands. Enjoy Patriots
experience. Place.
Davio's. That's open.
Reebok's
have you been
open.
There yet?
I haven't been.
Is Davio's
yes,
open now?
You have?
I had dinner there, yeah.
How is it?
I haven't been. Oh, yes, I have.
Russ Oakstein?
Where?
What is wrong with you? Seriously.
He was losing it.
He just asked you if you've been to Davio's yet. You said, no, I haven't. Yes, I have.
I have been.
How do you forget that? That had to be within like the last week.
What, you have a steak?
I did.
Oh, can I rave? Did I rave about CBS Scene yet? I'm off the making fun of you for it. Great food. Love it. It's
going to
be a success. Beautiful flat screens. Beautiful facility. Great food. Haven't seen the prices yet.
Save it for when they bring food.
Strippers
well,
wants
no,
to
I already
know
tasted it, and it was great.
When we go back to 4 days
here,
a week.
Here, idiot.
And never, will Patriots Friday eliminate our Friday show? The answer to that is yes.
We got porked.
We'll go.
Really?
We'll go 4 days a week.
Three days a week.
3 days a week after the first game.
You got to correct everything he says.
Tuesday, so, Wednesday,
go to Davio's. No, yes. 4 days a week. 3 days a week.
So was that September 9th is our first show?
The whole world will know in September.
Yeah, 7th, 8th, 9th. Yeah.
So we really did get screwed, huh?
Yeah, we got porked.
3 days a week. No, it's good.
Yeah,
it's actually a good thing.
It is, but.
We actually get some work done, you mean?
Fans want more of us, not less of us.
And I think Friday's show will be good because they're going to have exclusive interviews with players that you can't get anywhere.
Yeah, it'll be hard hitting.
You think Friday's show is good because it's got the word Patriots in it.
No, it's good to hear from
It's good
the
for
players.
The organization. That's
oh,
sure.
Certainly.
Joel and Merrimack says, I agree with Andy. Once Coates left, Bledsoe was lost. He had no outlet, and he started swallowing
a
lot of balls.
He's like Eric. No outlet and swallowing balls.
And as much as I am a Coates fan, I don't
you know,
see him as a Hall
now,
of Famer.
I don't either. Too short. Not in stature, but.
Yeah, it was 94 to 98. Yeah. He was great.
I mean, Coates, unless you're Gale Sayers, that don't get you in.
Is kind of like the Terrell Davis argument in a bit,
oh, yeah.
Where he really dominated for 3-4 years.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to know if I was completely off base there. I also wanted to put Pierre Woods an inside linebacker, so just stop
true.
Me if I'm an idiot.
And you said Russ Hochstein was there and then not there.
Well, Fred went to Davio's and didn't go, so what's the difference?
Yeah, but he's like 60. He's supposed to be losing it.
We are having a tough day here.
You are our new hire. You're supposed to be the new blood, rejuvenation.
I what should be trying to impress everybody for the first week until I mail it in.
Todd Porter. Writes
Ooh,
in with
luck,
an
Eric.
Andy poem.
Oh, God.
And I'll read that now.
Can we do something first?
What?
Gary's been bitching and moaning for the last 20 minutes that he has the Belichick I asked for earlier.
Okay, so why don't you set this up?
There is a mortgage.
See, you like that radio set it up?
There's a mortgage convention.
Shouldn't have to say it, but okay.
There's a mortgage convention thing up in the club today. And as part of that, they were having a press availability after Belichick for that. So there was all these bigwigs in suits, guys who think they're important, milling around the press box. They're sitting at a table over and off to the edge of where Belichick does his press conference, and they're just yap, 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 and they wouldn't shut the bleep up. And it was very annoying, very distracting, and Bill probably went through 3-4 questions. Paul and I looked at each other a number of times. We couldn't believe the audacity of these, you know, pretentious peons with a big...
Yeah.
I was very upset with him. I can't say
Get
it
Get to
all.
The point.
I was, I was stalling because Gary,
going here?
Suddenly,
well,
Gary suddenly
here,
this turned into a podcast.
All right, screw you guys.
I find that they still maintain that competitive edge despite the fact that there is nobody really pushing them from camp and they still...
Well, I think they all know, just like Chris came in here last year at the end. So, you know, there's always competition out there. You guys get us a little quiet over here. Thanks.
So that was Bill.
That little
that
noise. I don't
followed
know if
up a death stare that came the previous question.
I don't know if you could hear that little noise in the background.
Yeah,
one of the guys' cell phones
part
went
of
off.
It, yeah.
But there was three guys in particular. They were having a full-blown
you guys,
conversation.
Get us a little quiet over here.
Off to the side. And Bill, like Andy said, gave him the death stare at first. That didn't seem to work.
Yeah, you know, I ask like three questions a year, and these guys would interrupt one of mine.
Oh, Fred's
guys,
true.
Get a quiet
in the middle
over
of our show. You can't make it
unbelievable.
Up.
Can't make this stuff up. Fred's just getting calls, right?
You
that's what
guys,
we're talking about.
Give us a little quiet over here.
No, I'm on the air
and Gary,
right now.
Right, exactly.
You should save that
it's
for
rude.
The regular rotation. Like when we're having two different conversations on the show here, that'd be good.
Thanks.
That way Eric won't have to shush me.
Oh, I'll shush you.
Trying to help you out. Let's
Will
see.
You guys shut up, for Christ's sake.
All right, so here's Todd's poem.
That's what Bill should have said.
Andy Hart, wow, what a big-headed man. Since Mendenhall was drafted, now he's a Steelers fan. He brought us the Urban Dictionary word of the day. He'll eat seconds and thirds if he doesn't have to pay. Tuesdays on the beach drilling for oil while sitting on his couch, a pair of underwear he did soil. Red, Welker, old lineman, he's so reactionary. I love the clip. I'm excited about my future. Go, Gary.
And while I'm excited about my future.
The head, a-hole, little buddy, his names are. He's not as funny when Fred decides to raise the bar.
That's
true. Colonoscopy affected his brains. Yes, he was Sharon. He complains about money even though he's a land baron. Lori Baranski, an affair he is having. A big pain in the ass, but don't worry, he's salving.
I don't know what that
salving?
Would
mean. S-A-L-V-I-N-G?
Salving?
Eric? Eric? No, nothing.
Don't worry.
He played
salivating?
No, it's salving. You know, salve.
It's like salvage. He's keeping.
No, not like salvage, like salve.
Like,
it's
a,
like
bomb?
A bomb.
Okay.
What?
How about you, that? I knew what he was talking about.
Wow, he stumped Eric.
Right. But the best part is, you know, like, salve.
Continuing, he played football in school, a lot of steroids he was doing. Why are all his stories about him pooing? Off the juice, now chicken legs and no chest. He chuckles to himself when Eric uses the word abreast. Surveying, public relations, and teaching he's done. Was his wife passed out? After Bo Jackson, he named his son. Spanish he speaks and loves good-looking señoritas. So why is he attracted to Judy Batista?
Oh,
can we keep that out?
Oh,
you know,
oh,
see now.
You shouldn't have read that one. Outed. Mike, did you ever hear that one?
Outed.
I did not. I want to hear this. Come on.
No, we can't talk about it on the air. It is what it is.
I got a little thing.
Next break.
I don't know why.
She's not bad.
She does something for me.
I don't know what that is, but I don't really want to know.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
And that press box.
Todd has been doing a lot of poems.
He's become the poet laureate of
and
Nova
he's pretty
Scotia,
good at it.
Apparently.
He did one about you too, good. Eric. I'm not going
to
read it right away, though. I'll save
you
it.
Have to
a lot of words in there don't rhyme with gay.
I'll be.
Ethan from Delaware, speaking of Eric. Our man our man on the ground in Delaware, keeping us abreast of everything, Eric.
I can't do it now.
Oh, I can't do it on call,
passed.
On command.
What's Gary doing?
Talking on the phone. Read an email.
let's see. Ethan Hackett writes in, I'm appreciating my PFW in progress t-shirt.
Doesn't he always tell you not to read his first and last name?
Yeah, but you know, Fred doesn't pay attention to those things.
Anything.
Like that guy from
Chris,
Boston,
T-I-A-N.
You know? Yeah.
It was great for going down to the beach this weekend, and I was able to recommend the show to a couple of people.
See, it's working. We're like a virus, baby.
Gary, can we use Paul's four-word reaction to Thursday's game as a great moment to catch up in progress?
You should get that.
Despite it being a camp cast, I laughed just about to the point of tears. Now on to football. Did I miss that?
Yeah, yes. We did the podcast yesterday. And Andy's, well, first of all, after the 20-minute intro that Andy did, he goes, Paul, four words on Thursday's game. And I go, mayo.
And then there's just silence. Like we're waiting for the other three words. And nothing ever came.
That's good. Andy, I want to welcome you to the Chad Jackson Dunn Club. Hopefully now, with you on board, we can convince Chad Jackson apologists like Paul that he's not going to be the player that he was expected to be. Any word on Aiken, I could see him taking that fourth receiver spot.
Mm.
If he ever gets back on the field.
I wouldn't
well, they didn't put him on IR, so that's a good sign. But
I want this day recorded.
I'm not giving up on Jackson.
I'm considered an apologist for someone on the Patriots. I want this day recorded.
Yeah, someone they're about to cut ties with in a couple weeks.
But my question is on Hobson. I'm really starting to wonder if he's going to make the team. Maybe it was just watching it on TV, but he seemed to be very unsure of himself when he was in the game and seemed like he was watching the play develop far too long before he reacted. On one play, I do not think I saw him move from the snap to the whistle. What is your take? I'm assuming a say-out return would get him cut. But could Guyton perhaps take his spot to rotate with Brewski next to Mayo?
That would be an impressive leap for Gary Guyton to. I mean, it's one thing for a top 10 pick to see play from day one, but for Gary Guyton to all of a sudden be in the rotation, I find that hard to believe.
I think Guyton has a shot to make the team.
As a special teamer.
Not to be a part of the defensive rotation.
But Hobson has been open about the struggles learning the defense.
I think Hobson's spot is very much in jeopardy.
And I don't get it because. I mean,
was he not listening
when he was at meetings with the Jets and he was looking at outside linebacker? Didn't occasionally he like glance over to see what the inside guy was doing?
Turn the page? Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he can't get it in two different spots, then I think it's time to realize that maybe it's not going to work out.
Well, now we know why he was out there.
Devil's advocate here. It has been only one preseason game. you know, I'll give him a couple of more outings.
Isn't he going this way down the depth chart, well, down and not up?
I guess maybe I should concede that Seau should come back after all.
Finally,
I don't give up on Seau. I don't hate Seau.
Finally, says Ethan, Andy, since you brought it up on the CampCast, I'm tasking you with making sure that before the season is over, the authentic Gerard Mayo jersey will be available in the pro shop. I've been checking periodically.
It's going to be
not there yet.
It?
I'm assuming that after he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year, Flanders will finally order a couple.
He told me he had them.
The Mayo shirt?
Yeah.
Authentic or replica?
Well, authentic they can make anyone because they just send it down the street to a sweatshop and tell them to sew some numbers and letters
on. I think it's the opposite.
No.
I think it's the replicas.
The replicas you have to order early because Reebok makes them.
Really?
The authentics, they have, like, what do they call them, blanks or something? And then they have the numbers and the letters, and they can make them up.
Okay.
But he told me he had them because I told him. I said, he's going to be a star. Go get him. I know how you struggle ordering stuff and ordering the right things that are going to be popular. He said he had them.
So why aren't they on the web?
Chris Ferreira screwed it up.
This is what we need to talk to Ken Flanders.
Yeah, call Flanders.
Emily from California wants
time out.
To
know. Are you guys really gesturing at water polo? That
there's 40 seconds left in a one-goal game. I'm in.
One.
Italy and the U.S., for the love of God.
It's not live.
Yeah, but
don't tell me
we're
who won
Italian.
Then. Sure,
we live
not
in America.
I was going to say, this
no,
could
they,
be live.
They say live when it's live.
I don't think they're playing at 1 o'clock in the morning, Andy.
What?
I don't think they're
yeah,
playing
it's 12
at
hours
1
ahead.
O'clock
it's
in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning in China.
Who's in the blue and who's in the gray?
Emily in California says, what concerns you more, the offensive line or the secondary?
The offensive line.
Yes.
Right this moment, the offensive line. But I believe if everybody, provided that Neil and Light are back in the picture at some point, healthy, then the secondary would revert to be a bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say the same thing Paul was.
Short emails. This one's from Phil in Nova Scotia. Same question, different season. Is it more likely the Patriots will start 2-0 or 0-2? Vandy says 0-2 again this year. Please slap him.
2-0.
Absolutely 2-0. This
2-0.
Year.
Easily 2-0.
Okay. I see one plate of food coming in with these interns. There better be a six more behind him.
Wow, and he gets all mad.
I know,
he gets so mad.
He gets really uptight when it comes to food.
Yeah.
What do we got there, Junior?
Steak tips.
Are you shitting me?
Nice.
Okay. So thanks.
So go build us a sandwich.
I like turkey. I like
so
roast
what are the rest
beef.
Of
I like
us
cheese.
Having?
Well, that was like a communal thing.
Yeah.
Communal.
Holy crap.
Better get you a communal ass
I
back
like all,
upstairs.
No tomato on anything.
What was the stuff that we were building sandwiches with?
They got like chicken salad, I think, and tuna salad.
I like both.
No more steak tips?
I'm going to have to make a trip up there.
Tuna salad.
Eric, why don't you go up and help them?
Tuna or.
What in the hell is going on?
Oh, 20
seconds
left.
Four hands are better than two.
I missed lunch for this.
I think we're going to have to go up there.
We're going to have to go. This is not right.
Somebody go help them.
Yeah. I can't skip out on steak tips. Eric, I'll see you. You going? Wow. Are you going? Who's going?
Somebody go help him. I'm relieving you of your duties here. Somebody.
All right, I'm gone.
All right. Good,
is there anybody
Eric.
On
Thank
the...
you, Eric. See, Eric is
just get lots
to do
of
it.
Steak tips. That's all.
Thank you, Eric.
Is there anybody on the planet who doesn't... yeah, sandwich, please.
And any desserts that happen to be around?
Any of the sandwiches sounded fine. I like tuna. I like chicken, turkey, roast beef.
Eat.
No, it's communal. Just get some more. Yeah,
good news. The U.S. held on for the 12-11 victory.
Okay. Good news.
So that one person cares.
It smells good.
How many people are on that team? All the parents
I don't
care.
Know.
This is Patriot PFW in progress. So.
Yes.
So we can talk about water polo.
Is there anybody on the planet that doesn't
good
think
good news
the Patriots...
out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
You're going to start 2-0? Aside from Jets fans, maybe?
It's the Jets, right?
Because I don't even game? Think Chiefs fans think they're going to win.
Forget the Chiefs. The Chiefs,
they suck.
So.
I don't know. Every time I say this, it ends up being wrong. But I think the Chiefs could be one of the worst two worst teams in football. Easy. That's sure. That's a bad
I think
bluff.
they know they're in a rebuilding phase.
You know, they had all those draft picks, and I think that they made some decent picks, and I think, you know, maybe a year or two down the road they could be all right, but until they figure it out at quarterback, until they figure out some of the young guys figure it out in general, I don't see them being a threat. That's a bad team.
Let's see. David LB writes in. He says, I'll make this quick because if Fred is reading it, it might take all show. With the recent injury to Tank, would John Lynch be a possibility? He could fill
so.
Right into that spot as safety linebacker, and he previously had interest in coming here before he signed with Shanahan. I think he'd be a good safety valve. Get it? Good safety. Ba-dum-ba.
this
also,
guy does like I do in Ask PFW. As I was right. See what I did there?
Also, have you guys heard about the United Football League Could it fill that void of NFL Europa and be a new training ground for young players to develop?
Hey, Andy, you and I talked about this upstairs with the safety position. I think Merriweather and Spahn are the third and fourth safeties. I don't need to see John Lynch. They're trying to get younger and faster. Stick to younger and faster.
I agree.
Enough with the retreads. This is like the Yankees bringing in Pudge Rodriguez.
I don't see this huge need.
Enough.
All right. I just don't see this huge need where you – I mean, it's like a one-year thing. He's not going to be around for very long, so I don't see the huge need to rush him into training camp, teach him to bring on an old safety who'll retire at the end of the year.
I think you'd need to lose a guy like Rodney to entertain
replace
thoughts like
one
that.
Old safety with another.
Right, because you're looking for that experience. But
Rodney's second ball looks every bit as majestic as the first.
Essentially, right now, you have three starters, I think, even though Merriweather's
I think you
really
have three starters, and I'm cautiously optimistic about Spann. I think that he had a nice camp. I don't think he played very well Thursday night. I thought he had a chance to make a couple of plays and didn't. But I like what he's done in camp. I like what Bill's talked about what he's done in camp and some of the steps that he's made.
Plus, how many safeties you need?
Yeah, fourth safety, I think you could do worse.
All right, on the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing there, Fred?
I'm doing great.
And the rest, how are you?
What's up? They're eating.
Hi. Fred, your phone is ringing off the hook. Shut it off.
Am I the only one among the cavemen using a fork here?
Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony. What's up?
Well, now with this guy going down here, Tank Williams, do you see more of Merriweather playing that playing safety, or do you think he's going to be more in the slot? I was just trying to figure out what's going to be his primary role as a Merriweather, since you're talking about him.
Well, I think he's a safety, and that involves playing some in the slot. I think he's their fifth defensive back, too.
Yeah. Primarily what I called for was to see your opinion because, you know, just like you, Andy, finally you gave up on Chad Jackson. And
yep.
It's another wide receiver the Patriots have drafted that really, to me, hasn't panned out in the top rounds. But, you know, besides Branch, because I know you guys will bring that up. But who do you think is going to start at that other side now?
Well, I'd have to say Gaffney right now. I mean, those are your top three, or Moss, Welker, and Gaffney.
So and that was on the field last night. That was the lineup. It was those three guys. And because Gaffney gives you that versatility. He could play in the slot. He could play outside. I thought Chad Jackson would be able to play outside better than Gaffney, but Chad Jackson thinks otherwise because he's done absolutely nothing.
Outside the stadium, outside the league.
What a disappointment.
It's a big disappointment.
What was Jackson's signing bonus?
He was just a second-round pick, so it couldn't have been that big.
It's like a million
bucks.
So it's
not a big deal for them to actually
deal in the fact that they moved up in the second round to get him.
No, but he's talking about a cap. He's talking financially.
No, we're not talking money here. That's not what we're worried about. We're just worried. We're disappointed that a selection at that level just didn't pan out.
He was supposed to be here for the next 8 years making plays.
I mean, we're all excited when they moved up. They got this guy. Although, you know, to sort of defend other teams that didn't pick him, he was kind of projected as a first-round pick and drop.
Right.
So other teams definitely saw something or something that they, you know.
And if you remember, Fred, we were sold on the fact that he digested a play they gave him and was very cerebral in his dealings with the offense, and that was part of why they liked him so much. And by most accounts, that's where he's struggling.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Cassel throws a ball he thinks is going one place, and Chad Jackson's in another place. Mm.
Yeah. Quick question on that thought. I was because it just seems like he looks lost out there. And I'm not an expert. You know, just looking at him in the first couple of plays, it just doesn't seem like he knows where he's going. And my feeling is that do you think this actually hurts the I wouldn't say hurts the relationship, but do you think Bill's going to be a little bit more skeptical about picking somebody out of Florida because maybe he was sold on Jackson because of Meyer?
I think it's certainly possible. Yes, I think there's a chance that Urban Meyer gave him his gold stamp letter of recommendation, and now you say, well, last time you told me that, the guy stunk. So, yeah. I do think you have to question that moving forward. Just like if you get three or four guys out of a place, whether it's Florida or Fresno State, and it works out, then moving forward, I think you trust that recommendation.
Well, but once the guy leaves school, he's out of Meyer's hands. It's really not his problem.
Don't tell me he's all that different from the guy that was at Florida. You don't change overnight and become a totally different guy.
Especially when you consider the fact that at Florida, for Meyer, there were reports and a lot of stories about him struggling to pick up Meyer's system, which, don't forget, Chad Jackson was already there. Urban Meyer came in. He had that spread, you know, that spread offense that he runs. And there were a lot of talks that he struggled with some of that. So I agree with Andy. You can't just tell me that he went from that, having a slow development process, and then he was sold that, He'll be able to pick up things at the NFL
level. Well,
I'm
just saying he's not the first receiver from a big school to come into the NFL and struggle. So I don't think it's all exclusively one coach who's screwing this up. And so in other words, you got to cut off all ties with the guy.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, but it affects it. I think the way Anthony and Andy.
Yeah, slightly. But
said
they've had
they've got
a pretty deep rooted relationship. It's going back a few years here in terms of drafts and in terms of at least input. So you think one pick's really gonna?
Yeah.
Screw the pooch here.
Well, I mean, it was a pretty high pick.
Yeah,
so.
It was.
They've taken some Florida guys that played for Urban Meyer, and who was still here? Chad Jackson. Jeremy Mincy was one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They took a couple of guys that were admittedly undrafted free agents.
Tony Gator.
First of all, you went to Miami, but that was like
it's
two
a Gator
decades
joke.
Ago.
Get it, a Gator. Red chiming in.
But the other there was a couple of undrafted free agents. One was a cornerback, and one was an offensive lineman that was supposedly really community oriented, citizenship leaders.
No, there's no risk.
They both
guys,
washed
so.
Out. I don't even remember their names. Maybe John. He was Hand.
I think Hand
was
the
offensive
lineman,
and then they had a little cornerback that I can't remember his name for the life of me.
I mean, I think it's like anything else. If you go to a source and it's right, you build up a certain confidence. If you go and they're wrong, then next time you ask, you really take it with a grain of salt, whatever they say.
Okay, that's Anthony in Naples. Thanks for the call.
Good stuff.
Let's see. Alex writes in. He says, Parenti is a Giants fan in the immortal words of Mike Felger. Give me a break. Okay, Parenti, I want your fan perspective on the following. During the stretch from 1990 to 93, teams from the NFC East won four straight Super Bowls. How tough were the division games back then? I mean, the Giants, Redskins, and Cowboys won the Super Bowl, but they still had to face those plucky Eagles.
I was 11 years old. What the hell do I know? I don't know. I mean, I guess they were tough then.
Usually said from that chair.
That's true. Yeah.
Not really, though.
You really don't know how it works. You're supposed to say, oh, the Eagles couldn't play. They sucked. They just sucked. That's what
I'm an expert.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the role of that chair on the show, usually, in the past. Anyway.
Sorry. I don't know my role here yet. I really don't.
Know your
role. I don't know what
shut
to wear. I don't know what
Are you
kind
from
of
New
clothes
York?
To wear. No.
Why did you become a Giants fan?
Well, here's the story. The family grew up as Yankee fans, and then I had a godfather who lived down the street, my Uncle Gary. We just call him Uncle Gary, but he's not really an uncle, one of those. He's a Giants fan, one of the old school original New England Giants fans before this team came into existence. So I kind of adopted that. He made me into a Giants fan. And then the rest was history. I wanted to follow all my teams in one sports section. So I used to buy the New York Post all the time. Then I started rooting for the Knicks. Then I started rooting for the Rangers in hockey, and that's it. So that's kind of how it works. I'm not a big fan of people. I hope I don't offend anybody. I really don't care either way.
Too late.
But when you have you're a Patriot fan and you're a Yankee fan, and then you're like a Dallas Cowboy fan and another sport, like you can't have teams in different cities, because you adopt one team, you adopt the whole culture of the city, in my opinion.
You think so?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. In other words, Patriots fans don't like Yankee fans. Patriots fans don't like the Yankees. How can you say if you're a Patriot and a Yankee fan? It doesn't work.
Okay.
You gotta adopt the culture of the city. So it's take it or leave it. You take them all or you leave them all.
Very
That's my
interesting.
Take on it.
Maybe we'll get into more of this fan philosophy. We could have a show devoted on it.
We might want to save that for the off season.
Okay, well, for now we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Whoa. Crude, rude, and downright offensive. Some women don't like PFW in progress.
Ah, women, huh? God, I hate them.
Patriots.com radio.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no. I was not talking about that.
I don't care.
No, I'm not talking to you about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. And it is time for Eric's Fact of the Day.
Andy. Oh, I'm not prepared.
Oh, come on. You come to the show, Eric. Prepared or you don't come.
I was yelled at when I
did show
prep. Why do you
need to be prepared? Just tell us something from your previous 50 years of life.
All right, I spent my summers in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. My uncle had a house there. You know that famous lighthouse, Portland Headlight?
Sure.
Okay. We had a house.
He lived in the lighthouse?
He lived in the house next door.
Lived in the house next to the lighthouse?
Yeah.
Now, did the light keep you up
it
at night?
It did, and the foghorn.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was.
So that lighthouse
you
actually
get used to it after a while.
Had a light and a foghorn.
It worked, yeah. Yeah, unlike other lighthouses in New England, yeah.
So that's interesting. So Cape Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Many memories.
I miss it. Oh, yeah.
Childhood.
Why don't you go back?
Until I was about 20.
20.
Yeah, well, from when I was a little kid.
You don't go there anymore?
Well, my uncle died several years ago. And
sell the place?
This just took a turn.
Yeah, thanks a lot for laughing at that, Andy.
What?
I'd say my uncle died and he starts laughing.
I wasn't laughing that he died. I was laughing that.
Well, sure. The situation.
Right, yeah. Yes, Andy.
You miss it? Yeah, well, he died.
Eric,
so
you know, some people are just socially
uncomfortable.
Is this an
island?
Mm-hmm. Andy's one of those people.
Is this an island?
He doesn't know how to react.
What'd you say it was? An island?
No, it's not an island.
No.
It's on the coast, though.
I've
it's right
on
the coast. I
always wanted to stay in a lighthouse on an island.
There's one right off the coast of that, but no, never been to that one.
Some of those, if you just volunteer to like run, take care of the place.
Now the water's cold.
You
can't really go swimming up there.
We did in the summers, but only on really hot days because the water would, you know, only get to be like about 60, 65 degrees, and then it was pretty cold, but great place, beautiful.
Cold out there, Frank.
What are you doing in there? Well, that's a good fact. Very interesting. Okay. Reed from the Cape writes in, after all the offseason trades, I got thinking about a couple of trade questions. One, why don't we see many player-for-player trades? And two, last season the Chargers traded for Chris Chambers at the deadline, and their football team was better for it. So, why is this so uncommon? Make deals at the trade deadline. Thanks for taking my email, and Eric is gay.
Why do you always add that at the end, Fred?
I'm not adding it. I swear to God, it's right here.
Whose email is that?
This is Reed from the Cape. I don't add it. I'm just reading the email. That's right.
Because somebody emailed me the other day and said, hey, by the way, I didn't write that in my email. Fred added that on.
Oh, that's crap. Uh-oh. I have never added it on without it being there.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling the truth.
Who's telling the truth? Fred?
Yep.
Yes.
So the emailer was lying to me?
Yes, apparently.
Okay. That email is a very respectable source, by the way.
Paul,
the
you're an expert on why there aren't a lot of trades in the NFL.
Is this kind of like how you're trying to get me to be a Hall of Fame voter?
Yeah,
I'm an expert on that.
No, but you're like our resident savant.
I'll just offer you a kind of routine reason why you don't see a lot of trading deadline trades in the NFL is because I think it's difficult for a guy like Chris Chambers did last year to get traded in the middle of the year, go to another team, learn that system and make an impact, you know, on the fly. I don't think that's an easy thing to do. I think there's a limited amount of positions that probably could even do it. Wide receiver, maybe one of them. But I just don't think that a lot of guys, you know, like in baseball, could just jump to another team and make an impact. As far as player for player trades in general, I don't know why it always seems to be a player for a draft pick.
Well, because I think it's, as you said, hard to trade a player. So it's even harder to match up two players to trade.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, in the middle of the year, you want to get – this guy's on your roster, but you want to get rid of him, and you want to fill it with the specific guy that some other team's trying to –
Yeah, the
like,
Clinton Portis-Champ Bailey deal is
right.
One of the few that I can even think of.
There was that blockbuster here with Jonathan Sullivan and Bethel Johnson.
Yeah.
Aren't the isn't it also hard to get
one's
the contract
trash
to,
is another
to match
man's
up,
garbage.
Because you know, you might be looking for that right player, but maybe he's like at the end of his career and he has a bigger salary
contracts,
cap or whatever.
Contracts could be
and
an
then
issue. Not as much as
salary.
Well, in baseball, most of the trades are salary dumps anyway at the deadline.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're dealing two stars to pay some money and get some
in football,
cash
you have salary cap implications.
But I think even the draft for player trades have picked up in recent years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, apart from draft day, there was a time when the philosophy was, you have draft picks to draft. You don't use them for trade.
It's called draft
day,
not trade
day. It
was
stupid. It was narrow-minded. But I think now, you know, teams are much more open using draft picks to trade for players and vice versa.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Paul. Cam Cameron was in Miami last year, right, with Chris Chambers. And San Diego had Norv Turner, right, who'd been in Miami with Chris Chambers. So Chris Chambers had some experience with both parties involved and both systems. So there was,
which
like
is probably why it worked
cross out. Pollination there that may have led to the interest from both from them acquiring him in the middle of the year, right? I'll let you finish the eclair you just deep throated.
He has to make it sexual.
I don't know why that's funny. I just ate an eclair.
The eclair you just deep throated? That's pretty funny.
Well, he's pretty vulgar.
Oh, there's no question. Like what's his name said? When Fred tries to raise the bar, I'm not funny at all. Body humor.
Let's see. Andrew.
Just count me among that group that doesn't find you all that funny.
Andrew in the Ukraine writes in. In your training camp podcast, you touched on the play a little bit where Castle and Jackson weren't on the same page. I noticed Jackson jawing with Castle, but I also noticed Castle showing up Jackson. To me, neither look very professional. They both look like players who think their last chance is slipping through their fingers and are trying to divert
because that's
blame.
True.
I was actually more disappointed with Castle throwing his arms up. Your backup QB, he's not Peyton Manning, for crying out loud. What do you guys think about
that? I'm still not convinced that it was all Jackson on that play.
I am.
Well, because he was, unless he lucked himself into getting open.
The only reason I'm convinced is because I saw that same play. He screwed up again with fewer than 12 times this training camp. And it doesn't matter if it's Brady or O'Connell or anybody in between. The reaction has been the same from the quarterback. The arms are outstretched with the palms to the air as if to say, what are you doing?
I'll take your word for it. I just saw initially
that
the ball was on the front.
I just I don't think the guy has been where he's supposed to be for 3 years now.
But let me ask you a question, though. In terms of getting on the same page with the quarterback and the receiver, that's part of the quarterback's responsibility, too. So anytime a receiver screws it up, I mean, there shouldn't be at this point in camp, when you're playing your first preseason game, you've had 2 weeks to prepare, that these mistakes shouldn't be happening. And it could, I mean, you kind of got to put the blame on both guys to me.
I don't, because I err on the side of Tom Brady on these matters. And Brady, more so than any of the other quarterbacks, has given that reaction to receivers, both in regular season games and in the training camp practices. If the receiver can't run his route, to me, that looked like a play that was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to get into an area and sit and stop.
Right.
He threw it to his back shoulder. It wasn't like the cornerback read the play and stopped. The cornerback
was just right
basically
there.
At a standstill, yeah. And the ball hit him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just can't imagine that, you know, anybody would think that that's, you know, where he was trying to throw the ball.
Damn right.
I also
the
noticed,
receiver's got to be coming back. I think the receiver's got to sit in that area.
And Jackson, I think, tried to make his point to Castle, and I think after Castle explained his side of things, you saw Jackson kind of like sort of like
I think probably think that's the quarterback.
And I think that's the quarterback's job.
You're right. No,
quarterback's job is
yeah.
to make sure that the guys are doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I've seen Brady do that a million times. Now I understand that the emailer's difference is, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they have a stature that Matt Castle doesn't have, but I do think there's some truth to the fact
Castle's job
there's two guys
too,
that are fighting
so
for their job, and
he has to be.
You know, Castle
as well.
Didn't get much of a shot the other night. He threw four passes. That was one of them. You know, so I can certainly understand his reaction if that wasn't his fault. You know, wake up. I want to make sure that you're where you're supposed to be in the next place so I don't look that bad.
Right.
James from England writes in. He says, Fred, do you have any say in who works on the GilletteStadium.com website? I'm going to the game with the greats with my friend, and I email them three times to see if it's okay because he's in a wheelchair. Do I get a response? Hell no.
Hey.
I think you need to kick ass. It's absolutely okay if your friend's in a wheelchair. Email alumni@patriots.com.
Who do the Gillette Stadium emails go to?
It depends on which, you know.
Chris Ferreira?
No. They go to different people around the stadium.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
I'm guessing it's Ferreira.
No, it isn't. Also, Gary, book me in for a hand-delivered lunch on the October the 2nd. I'll even bring a box of fags for Eric if he smokes.
Cigarettes.
Now that's
funny. You don't
funny.
Smoke cigarettes.
Andy,
that's
funny. No. That's you are not funny.
I still
that's
have
funny.
An issue with that because they're called that word, correct?
Yes.
Not the full word.
Right.
No. Because the day I said, Fred, what do they call cigarettes in England?
He
said
the whole
full word, and I'm like, whoa, that's not even where I was going.
What would you rather be called?
The full word is a bundle of sticks.
That has been banned.
Are you sure?
I think it's just the
abbreviated six-letter word?
Version.
Yes. The full word is a bundle of sticks.
I got to look this up again.
Absolutely.
I'm not
F-A-G-G-O-T.
Gary's efforting.
Thanks, okay.
It's a bundle of sticks.
You know, in
look
case
it up.
We did have those two, you know, children, you know, around age 10 that didn't know exactly what we were talking about,
you know,
you spell it out.
No, the thing about it is it's terrible when people hijack perfectly legitimate words to use them for bad. And, you know, that word is a bundle of sticks.
Yeah, clearly, that was a big part of my vocabulary.
Speaking of that, someone's at
all of a sudden. All of a sudden, I can't use it now.
He did it as a joke.
Joke. Okay, Bertha writes in. And
are you big?
I think she says... I think that's kind of like you have to be.
Yeah, you're all big Berthas.
I'm sure this one has been discussed a lot, but based on your observations from the game, one, who would take spot number one as backup QB? I think the rookie far outplayed Gutierrez and Castle, and I know it was only one game, but I thought he showed a lot of potential. What do you think?
I wouldn't say far outplayed him.
Plus, he was playing against threes.
Yeah. Right.
Playing it's, against hard to, it's hard to assess
grocery
that.
Store clerks and around UPS delivery guys. Like
I think you could flip a coin right now.
Really?
I don't think the situation is very good.
Speaking of which, didn't we see earlier on one of the scrolls that A.J. Feely had gotten released?
No, Jay Feely.
I'm sorry.
Kicker J. Feely.
Oh, I thought you said A.J. Feely. Because no. I was going to say that.
Sad
could have
part
been.
Is he might be a better quarterback than these three.
Yeah. You know, and Matt Gutierrez was not out there, as Mike talked about early in this show. Maybe he's got an injury that's, you know, significant enough to keep him out of action for a time. Maybe that he winds up on injury reserve or something. I don't know. But
possibility that they just wanted to see more of O'Connell and Castle?
Could be.
But why wouldn't they just have Gutierrez stay?
Because Gutierrez is not as established, so I don't think that's the case. I'm just throwing – I'm playing devil's advocate.
I mean, I don't think that he got any kind of a day off that wasn't involved with – it wasn't injury-related.
He threw 16 passes on Thursday. So, I mean, could he really be –
But if he
not
got,
fatigued,
he got,
I'm not, I'm
but
saying
he did
not
get sacked three fatigued. Times, and he might have cracked a rib that yeah, we didn't know right. about at the time,
or hit a finger on a helmet, or
anything. Yeah.
Or Matt Castle was hiding around a corner with a lead pipe.
William from New Bedford says, when does the Rook Show start? No, seriously. It starts the week that we go 3 days a week. The
9th.
The September 9th.
You all right?
I had a little gas.
2 o'clock,
the Rook Show, checkmate.
What?
Checkmate.
I thought it was a rook and a queen.
That's the explanation. Checkmate, a rook and a queen.
I was going to go a drag and a...
what? It's a bundle funny. Of sticks.
Gary, what do you got? Oh, you make me read. I can't read.
You better read soon because Fred's doing nothing.
Let's see. Andrew from Maine. Andrew from Maine. Okay. Speaking of Maine.
Cape Elizabeth.
Right. No matter where you have your stories, we have someone that emails in.
It's kind of like you, Fred. You've lived all over the country. You've rooted for all these teams,
and none of these people have ever crossed paths
Andrew
with
says
you.
He's excited for the season, and really for one reason. I feel Jerod Mayo is going to be a complete force on defense, and if Terrence Wheatley looks as good as you say he does, I'm ready to say goodbye to Ellis Hobbs.
Wow.
Whoa.
We didn't say he looked that good. Yes.
Slow down.
And plus, you still need Hobbs.
Plus, you need more than one corner.
I'm a little worried about
starting one corner this
all
year.
All of a sudden, Jeff Schoat is starting?
I'm a little worried about the offensive line, and I'm finding it hard to ease my worries. On another note, I think Parenti is a great addition to the show.
I agree.
He's quick-witted, funny, and I think we may have found Eric's new boyfriend.
That's nice. Real way to stick it in at the end, pal.
You might want to take back what you said
that's
about that
quick-witted
part.
Great.
Nice job,
Fred.
Yes.
According to the American Heritage Dictionary.
Yes.
F-A-G-O-T, so F-A-G-G-O-T, is defined as a bundle of twigs, sticks, or branches bound together.
That's right.
A bundle of pieces of iron or steel to be welded or hammered into bars. So, once again, Fred Kirsch is right.
Right, but he has yet to use it. In that context.
In proper context.
Well, it's because it's been hijacked.
Were you at home this weekend doing some yard work?
In the 50s and 60s, you went out and you had a gay time.
Right.
You know, and
smoking fags.
That is no longer. You know, you use that now, and you get people like Andy giggling like a little girl.
I do it to please Andy. Sorry.
Wasn't that part of the Flintstones theme
song? Yeah, we'll have a gay old time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And that was one.
Gary, can I read this?
60s.
Right?
Yeah.
1800s, probably.
Late 60s.
We have Flintstones. We have a submission from James in England again about the word, the full word that we're discussing that Gary doesn't want us to say. It's a food. Looks like kind of like meatballs or something. He sent it. It's Mr. Brain's pork, that word.
Let me see that.
In a rich country sauce, I bet.
That's why you can't say it, because you can't stop giggling.
This is great. I can't do this.
He also put something that Eric would probably eat.
While Eric is reading that, Kamani says, who cares if Eric was in a lighthouse?
The best part
just mad
is
you
he wasn't even in the lighthouse. He was next door to
next
the cool
door
thing.
I care. We care. I mean,
the cool thing was next door. Eric was.
The fact that their ball shape is even funnier.
I think we have a problem with the new hire, Fred.
Nice job, Fred.
Well, come on. People send this stuff in. I'm supposed to keep quiet, not laugh.
Tony is another person who likes what he sees from Mayo. I know it's early, but I've seen enough to say that I can think of a few plays that gashed the Pats D that wouldn't have happened if Jerod was manning the middle. The Joseph Addai run right before halftime at Indy and the game McGahee had against the Pats D on Monday night. Once McGahee got past the line, there was no one there to greet him. That wouldn't happen with Mayo.
People got to calm down.
The McGahee run might be an example. The Addai play was a screen pass that should have never happened regardless of who was on the field. He broke about 16 tackles.
He might have been there.
It's one game.
And judging on the way the rest of it wasn't because he broke through the middle of the line and there was no one there.
But Mayo's good at diagnosing screens and getting out there and getting in the way.
And he just as well could have missed the tackle like he did the other night.
Don't you know he's perfect?
I'm just giving an example. The die play was...
The perfect young defender. Pat
an absolute
overrated.
Fluke.
Paul,
I'm
on board.
A new boyfriend.
Mayo.
I appreciate that, though, because he broke up with Chad Jackson, and now he's going out with Mayo.
That's the one downside for Patriots fans. The last guy I loved this much was Chad Jackson.
He changes him like he changes socks, and we know what he does with socks.
Larry the...
Ooh. Ooh.
Larry the Drunk has a question about the other drafty linebacker. He just wants to know, as I didn't get to see the game, other than the interception, how did Sean Crable look?
Pretty good.
Okay.
I thought he looked really, really good, actually.
And he said he got more comfortable with his pass rush moving on into the game, admitted he was nervous, said he has plenty to work on, but he looked far better in that game than he'd looked yet in practice.
He's
a game day guy.
He really came out on the
game. He's being a good practice guy, doesn't it?
He had a couple of aggressive pass rushes. Like Andy said, the drop in pass coverage was really excellent. He got really deep and made a
nice play. Which is supposed to be
his
struggle.
Yeah.
It's funny. He did the thing first that is supposed to be the struggle, and then his pass rush kind of came on later in the game, which is supposed to be his natural. Yeah.
He looked good.
The thing I hate most about preseason, other than they don't count, is that when a guy like Sean Crable does do well, there's always the caveat, but he did it against the bums. You know?
Yeah, but he was out there pretty early. He wasn't late. Well, he was late.
The interception
stuff he did.
The interception was against Kyle Bowler.
Kyle Bowler threw the pass.
I mean, I know that he's no All-Pro or anything, but he was
their starting bum.
He is their starting quarterback, and he was out there, at the start of the game. Now, I don't know how many other ones were out there, but
real quick, I need to share some idiocy I heard on a major sports radio station in Boston. The major.
I love that.
One of their less talented guests said there was this one running back. I think he had like one play in the game the other day. I forgot his name, but he hit that hole faster than anyone I've ever seen.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
And yes, that was one of the other hosts said that. And he goes, yeah, it was almost like Belichick saw that and said, oh, I got to stash this guy before anybody sees what we have here.
Goodness.
What you're getting when you listen to real radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you can't be a house organ. You can't work for the organization because you won't get biased, unbiased coverage.
Holy
but
Moses.
That's the kind of stuff that you get from working for a radio
team,
station.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is now being stashed.
We need to take a break because you need to tell me who said that.
I can tell you right now if you want.
Who said that?
I'll give you a hint. He draws cartoons.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Dan.
How's that working for you?
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. In his conference call the other day, someone asked Belichick a question about the Pats' choice to defer to Baltimore after winning the coin flip on Thursday. Belichick went on to explain that he has heard from his colleagues at the college level that almost 100% of the time, the winner of the coin toss defers to their opponent in college, and that, I guess, led him to consider doing it himself. Belichick also went on to say that the Pats would most likely continue to defer this season every time they win the coin flip. So, it made me wonder why that was such a novel idea. Can any of you explain why Belichick sees so much value in this strategy?
This is a great topic that Paul and I
have been discussing. Plus, it was never available before, that ability to do that in the pros.
Right. Andy and I have talked about this off the air for a couple of days.
Because Bill made it sound like it's really, really going to be rare that conditions and circumstances.
Weather conditions are basically the biggest thing that he would say would
be
someone would do
it
different.
If I had the 2007 Patriots, I would have received every single time I won the toss.
Because you can
go up
7-0
and give my defense a lead that I think is the weak part of my team.
And I understand Andy's theory there, and I think it's a good one. But I think that the coaches would. Coaches don't go into games like we did last year, knowing that they were going to win. I mean, how many times do we go to a game and just say, there's no chance they're going to lose today? Baltimore. And once or twice there was actually a chance that they were going to lose that we didn't think they had a chance to lose, But the coaches don't go into the game thinking like that, and they think they have to come up with every competitive advantage they can. And I think that what most coaches would tell you is that having the ball to start the second half is an advantage because you can dictate the way the game ends in the first half. You can try to dictate it and get that extra score or that extra possession back-to-back depending on how it comes out. If you don't have the ball to start the second half, you don't have that chance to end the half with the ball and then get it to start the second half. So you back-to-back, you piggyback possessions there. If you don't have that possession to start the second half, that can't happen. I think that's probably the reason why they do it. It's the only chance you have to get back-to-back possessions.
Yeah.
If you open the second half, you can do it. If you don't, obviously, if the other team has the ball, well, it just alternates just like it normally would. But that's the only way you can get that situation, and I think that's a key advantage.
And I think that, if you know you're going to get the ball to start the second half, having your defense start the game for you isn't a bad thing because, sometimes – your defense can set the tempo for you. You get them a three and out. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, everything's turned in your favor. But you don't do that without knowing you're going to get the ball in the second half. So that's why teams never did it in the pros before. But I think teams will defer. I think a lot.
Bill's right. I think that's going to end up. That's going to end up happening. Now it may not happen immediately in the preseason for everybody because they might be wanting to work on offense or whatever they want to do.
I just don't think it's as rare as he's trying to make it out to be. I think there will be.
Well,
more
in college
cases.
It is. I'll tell you. I know. Almost no one but ever takes the ball to open the game.
I still fall back on last year, and I mean, they're going to probably be pretty good on offense this year.
I understand that, but I still think that you go into the game wanting that advantage of having the ball to start the second half.
I also go into the game not wanting to be trailing 7-0.
But you can't. Well,
I don't think
this
defense is that unstoppable.
You can't possibly think that you go into a game, you're losing 7-0 if you lose the coin toss. How many times do they fall
behind? I play the Indianapolis Colts. I win the toss.
That might be a rare case that he's talking about.
Well, you play the Colts every year. Just ask Patriots fans.
So once out of 16 games, that's common.
He made it sound like never.
He said there will be rare instances.
But he emphasized it like when there's a blizzard and this and like the moon is in the third quarter and the president is at the game and Donald Trump is losing money.
Maybe he won't live up to that. I think that he'll probably defer well over 95% of the time.
Probably. That's what he said he was going to do.
But I think that he'll do that. You seem to think that he won't.
And when he's trailing 7-0 at the Colts, I'm going to criticize it.
Well, he was trailing 7-0 at the Colts. What are you going to do? You fall behind. You still have to play the game the right way.
Yeah, I understand. But when I have Tom Brady and Randy Moss in one of the best offenses the league has ever seen, I feel pretty good about starting 7-0.
So I don't understand why you wouldn't want the ball to start the second half so you could take a touchdown guaranteed to start the second half.
Because I'd rather lead the game throughout.
Automatically assuming because your great offense doesn't start the game with the ball that you're falling behind?
Because I don't think my defense is that. If I have to match up the Colts offense and my defense of last year, let's say, I think the Colts offense is better.
Yeah, but see here, this is what I would want to do, assuming I have a decent defense. If you stop them and then you score, it's like tennis. Now you're up.
Right. No question.
You know, I agree with that.
I think that's the exact theory of why teams defer, Fred. Yep. I think that you're trying to get ahead that break.
But I think Andy's
saying that's the break.
That's a ridiculous gamble if you're playing the Colts.
But why is that a ridiculous gamble?
What if a guy has a 150-mile-an-hour serve? You don't want to just come out and go boom, 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 and five straight aces, and he goes, I can't even compete on – it's the same thing.
No, but you don't have a choice in tennis.
No, but you're the one who brought up tennis.
No, Andy's point, and like I said, I think that his rationale with last year's team is legitimate. We talked about this for a while. I don't think their defense was that great last year. I'm well on the record of saying that. If you feel like that going into a game, that defense got better because it got to be dictated by the way the game was being played and the score. So obviously Andy's point is you come out with that offense. More often than not, they opened a game with a touchdown last year. Now you're up 7-0. Your defense is better than it would be in a 0-0 game.
And then
that's Andy's point.
You're talking about breaking serve. Well, if that happens on the second possession and you score again, now the game's over because it's 14-0 and you're really playing with a lead.
But
you can blitz. You can do whatever you want.
I just think that
your offense is going to be good in the second half, too. And now you're guaranteed to start off the second half scoring a touchdown in your case.
But you might be playing catch-up.
He's saying the odds were more likely.
First of all, I don't know the odds, so I don't want to, like...
I don't want
people emailing in who are actual,
listen,
like,
it's got to be...
No, I'm not saying
infinitesimal
difference. I'm saying
there can't be a big difference.
Right, but I think Andy's point is just that you wouldn't have felt comfortable putting the Pats defense out against the Colts offense last year to start the game. You'd rather have the Pats offense.
I think a lot of coaches
against the Colts defense.
I would have
I
had no
a lot
problem.
Of coaches,
I would if I win the toss and I have the ability to defer, I'm deferring every time. Yeah.
I think a lot of coaches in college like getting their defense out there first.
I like having that ball in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't care about offense or defense first. I like having the ball to open the second half. I think it's an advantage when the game When the second quarter winds down, I think that strategy involved there can be an advantage for the ability to possibly have two possessions in a row.
This will never have happened this year because the Patriots are too good.
Right.
But, Lord, I wish there could be a game when they defer and they're down 28-0 at the half. And I go, well, Paul, good news is you got the ball to open the second half.
But obviously, if they got the ball to open the first half, they wouldn't have fallen behind 28-0. Right,
you never know.
This is the most irrelevant conversation in the history of.
First of all,
you know nothing about what
you're talking about. That's what this show is based on, my friend.
Seven nothing.
Ahead or down, 3 minutes into the game is not the death knell. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant.
You're irrelevant.
Listen,
nobody ever picks up momentum after one drive.
Rhode Island, listen, if you want to go back and have that circulation
God
of 12
damn.
that you came from, you could go ahead.
That's real.
You
nice.
Stop
that's
talking about class.
10 of those people are family. All right.
You stop talking about the legitimacy of this show, friend. Now you're hitting home.
Call comes to us directly.
We're talking about the coin toss, not the game. Not the game,
mind you.
The coin toss.
Listen, we don't talk about a lot of relevant stuff here. Where you been, man?
Jan from Boston. Oh, someone's at the door.
This is Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Tippett. Now it's time for Andy Hart's. Are you kidding me? I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm not doing this.
Well, thanks, Tip, for at least doing half of it. This one is a very good one because it's very appropriate for Paul Perillo's Saturday night. It is a Tampa Bay toupee. That's a Tampa Bay toupee. And actually, my favorite part is the sentence is, Fred came over last night and I fixed his bald head with a Tampa Bay toupee. It's really not. It's wow. Gross.
You really can't even read any of it or even
try to
suggest
what it means. I don't
think
we need to read it to figure out what that means.
Is that a hair gel?
Jan.
Can I try to describe it?
No, I think
people can figure it out, Andy.
Especially you.
Jan from Australia. Hey, guys, and you too, Eric. Let's just get one thing straight.
Oh, that's so another old. One of your listeners, so Fred, old. With your little face in Australia.
Let's get one thing straight. You are one gay word from demotion. I haven't written in for a while, so I thought I should start off by saying hello to our newest PFW guy, Mike, and a big goodbye, amigo, to that other guy. Anyway, I wanted to ask Paul a question because I believe you have the best knowledge when it comes to Patriots history, particularly the drafts. Ready, Paul?
That means I don't know if I can live
up
to that.
You got your hat on? Since 1985 to 1995, excluding Bledsoe and McGinnis, would you say the Patriots drafts were terrible drafts, and only after the 95 season did the Patriots draft improve overall, like the 96 draft with Glenn, Lawyer Malloy, Teddy Bruschi? Can you also please talk about running back Robert Edwards in the 98 draft, and can you tell us his story and whatever happened to him? I think they had.
Are we counting 95? Because 95 was an excellent draft.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
93, that's, well, they got Bledsoe.
But I think he's counting the Bledsoe draft. Yeah,
excluding. Well, I think they got Troy Brown.
Chris Slade. I think Vincent Brisby was in that draft.
So
that wasn't a bad draft. No. 95 was outstanding, though. 95, you had Ty Law, Ted Johnson. I mean, that's 1-2 punch right there. Those are two really good picks.
We'll have to look up 85 to 93.
Yeah, going back from 85.
They probably weren't that great.
Certainly. When you want to get into the late 80s, that's the reason why you went 2-14 and 1-15.
In the early
90s.
Which was the draft?
Eugene Chung's and Pat Harlow's.
I was going to say.
Pat Harlow was a good pick. Pat Harlow was a good player.
Leonard Russell, Pat Harlow, wasn't that a double first round?
Chris Singleton and Ray Agnew, terrible.
Another
terrible.
Yep.
Eugene Chung, as Andy mentioned, maybe the worst pick out of
Leonard
all of them.
Russell.
Trevor Maddich back in like 85. They had some Reggie Dupard, 1 yard Dupard as he was called. Terrible picks. They had tough time drafting. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't have.
How
all
about
the
us? Robert Edwards.
Well, that was
obviously 90, anyone
that
here.
Was 98.
Blew
no, but he wants to know his story and whatever happened to him.
Actually, check out the Sports Illustrated about a month ago with the Where Are They Now. There was a little piece about he and John Avery, former running back from Miami. They're pretty good friends. They went up to Canada, played together for a couple years. They played for Toronto. They're no longer in Toronto, but that kind of will catch you up as to what he's doing right now. Sounds like he's...
Is he playing, though, in Canada?
He was.
No?
Not anymore.
He's done now.
He's all done?
But he was very good.
He had a good career in Canada.
Really?
A
couple thousand-yard seasons.
Yeah. And they don't run the ball a lot up there, so that's pretty
Patriots
good.
Patriots fans are well aware of the fact that he was playing a beach volleyball game on the Pro Bowl weekend, blew out his knee like you never saw before. I mean, he blew it out five ways
Saturday. He almost lost the leg itself.
Yeah, and never really recovered. It was a nerve thing at the end that got him because he had this kind of thing where he really couldn't lift his foot up correctly.
Drop foot, right?
Drop foot, they call it.
Exactly.
Like
and
Charlie.
Tried to have tried
with
to do
him
it
at all, Andy. I mean, you weren't in PR when he came back.
The comeback, I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tried to have a comeback in Miami
and here.
And here.
Yeah, here first.
Yeah,
he
and then he went to Miami
cut.
and really just never could do it.
And Miami, no, he scored that first.
With
yeah.
the
two
he
touch-
played a year in Miami. The,
scored two touchdowns on opening day, and as Sports Illustrated put it,
University of Georgia, Robert Edwards.
The Comeback Player of the Year award was his, like, less than a game into the season because, I mean, he came back from potentially having his leg amputated below the knee
yeah,
to
he
score
blew
a
out
couple
all
touchdowns.
The ligaments, all the major ligaments in the knee, and severed the artery,
right.
And that caused the nerve damage that Fred was talking about. He came really close to losing his leg.
Yep. But he turned it around in Canada.
And it sounds like he's doing really well with some outside ventures, too. So.
And now John Avery also played in Canada and is a stand-up comic like Eric.
Only he works.
Only funny.
I'm not going to respond to you.
God bless you, Andy.
God forbid you respond with a joke or something.
Right.
Yeah. I can't imagine what you did with hecklers.
Idiot.
Yeah, jerk.
Let's see. Andrew writes in, guys, after watching the preseason game, I looked at the roster
football game. Yeah.
And picked out the 53 players I thought would make the team. These names really stuck out. What is your opinion?
Castle? Let me get my recorder on. I have to write this story when we get upstairs.
Castle, Hobson, Jackson, Yates, and Neal. I know I can't make these decisions after one game, but based off of what I know, what I've seen, these players are done. How
Neal?
Much does losing Williams hurt us? Lastly, all of the linebackers look great. Keep up the great work.
Wait, Neal is
Castle, Hobson, Jackson, Yates, and Neal.
Yates is done, too?
Yates and Neal, Yates I think, are pretty good shape.
Yeah, Yates was starting.
Yates is
right
in.
Guard. Neal is he's either on the roster or he's on PUP.
He's on PUP for 6 weeks.
Yeah. I'd be stunned if he gets cut.
He's not
that would be the shocker of all shockers.
Would that be? No, never mind.
Now,
what is it? What was this? The shocker?
No,
what was
that? No, okay.
All right, on the phone right now is Steve in Winchester. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, I had a question, and sounds like it falls on the email you just read. Is this the beginning of the Billy Yates era? He's been around for three previous seasons. I think, two in the practice squad. And I seem to recall that he was the highest-paid practice squad player a couple of years ago. But what does he look like? What are you guys seeing in camp?
Well, he's about
short.
60,
he's portly. Dark skin.
He did
looks
not,
like a young Romeo Crennel.
He did not. He does. He did
he?
Not have a very good game, Steve, Thursday night against the Ravens. And
right.
That pains us all to say because we all really like Billy Yates. He's a really nice guy.
By no means is it the start of the Billy Yates era, because even if he starts, it won't be the Billy Yates era. It'll be the Billy Yates era till somebody else starts.
I think he's a fill-in guy. He's a transition guy, even if he does start. I agree with Andy on that. But
limited upside.
I think he's a terrific backup interior lineman because he can play all three spots, both guard spots and center. And he's been around for a few years. He has some starts under his belt.
Oh, yeah.
He started
four games a couple years ago.
He started one last year.
Last year.
And
too.
He always seems to, every time he's in the lineup, and he would be in the lineup for any kind of extended time, he seems to get hurt himself, which has really been unfortunate for him. But right now, he's gotten a chance to be in that first group because Neil's been on PUP, and he's been there every day. I don't think he put his best foot forward against the Ravens the other night.
Oh, no.
Well, if he ends up starting six or eight games because Neal does end up on PUP. Are you guys comfortable, or is that a big concern?
I'm not the one who's going to stand in the pocket, so I'm fine.
I'm all right with that.
Well, I would just worry about him
know.
Getting hurt again.
Well,
yeah,
my concern is
seriously hurt. No, somebody else could get hurt because of him.
Well, that's true, but
if Matt Light and Nick Kazier start, I'm okay with Billy Yates. But if Kazier's at left and Britt's at right and Yates is now, I'm a little more concerned, and it's a cumulative effect of all these backups being put in there. But just Billy Yates by himself, I think he can do an okay job at guard and get you through.
I think, you know, when you have multiple injuries on the offensive line, you have trouble. But, you know, unless a guy's a dominant guard like John Hanna, if one guard gets hurt, you should be able to plug a guy in and you know, keep the dam from, you know, losing water.
Yeah, my concern, like I said, would just be him getting hurt again and having to put a third guard in there.
Yeah.
And we still have the question if he's even the guy. I mean, I still think there's a possibility Hochstein would be the guy. Even though the reps have gone to Yates, I think they're pretty comfortable with what Russ Hochstein is.
They might be pretty much aware of what he's going to do. And the way that Bill talked about Hochstein the other day
I'd be very
was well above
all
and beyond.
Washington sound effect,
but well above and beyond what the normal one is. And, you know, who knows?
Bill
wait for
more
it.
Highly of him than Sapp does.
Oh, yeah.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve from Winchester, thank you.
See you, Steve.
Billy Yates era.
Couple emails about the defer argument. Josh from Arlington says, without a doubt, the dumbest argument I have almost ever heard on the show.
You.
Move on, for Christ's sake.
We have.
Stripper says, this show has jumped the shark with that argument.
Shut up.
And a lot of emails
writing
in about FAA.
Just note that I had no part in that discussion.
I'll guarantee that every guy that's emailing in that's local worships the guy who started this argument. Because the guy who started this argument is a very well-respected Patriots beat writer.
Okay.
So obviously it was important enough for him.
Paulie in L.A. writes in, how does a team How does a team deal with injuries like a Tank Williams? Will he end up being released? What is the overall impact to the team with preseason injuries? Don't know if you talked about it, but honestly, do we want Sale back? Will PFW broadcast from his restaurant bar in San Diego while you're in town?
Yes.
I doubt it.
No.
I was getting excited for a minute. I was really hoping.
Yeah.
We need to think about that at some point.
But anyway, Tank Williams is going to be on IR, so they don't need to release him, but he is done for the year.
Now, they could do some sort of settlement, right?
Right.
Yeah. If they wanted to.
If they wanted to. Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, generally they go on IR, you pay him, they go away.
He can't play for the Patriots in this year, though.
That's correct, right?
That is correct.
Mario from San Benito says, I didn't follow the Pats or football back in 98 or 99 since I was only 7 or 8. But I do know that in 98, the Pats selected Robert Edwards in the first round, and he had a good year with around 1,100 yards. Unfortunately, he tore up his knee in some flag football. It was flag football, not volleyball.
Right. We knew that.
Unfortunately, he tore his knee up, blah, 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 and was out. Okay, so we know that. I also know that the Pats selected Kevin Falk in the second round of the 99 draft. So now my question is to you, how good do you think Edwards would have been had he not gotten injured? Was Falk selected to be his replacement or to be a change of pace third down back? And if he was picked to be his replacement, how did Falk fare?
I mean, the kid had a tremendous rookie year, Edwards, right? He had over 1,000 yards.
I don't know if Falk never put up those numbers.
I think Robert Edwards would have been an average back at best, to be honest with you.
But I don't think they drafted Falk to be his replacement.
They did.
No.
They did. That Pete Carroll absolutely had designs on him being an every down back, and he was given every opportunity to be that as a rookie, which is a lot to ask. And then they brought in Terry Allen just before the year. He took over most of the reps. They realized quickly that Falk probably wasn't big enough to do that. But, you know, in the SEC, Kevin Falk was a special player.
If he had come out the year before, he would have been a very high draft pick. He was one of those guys that went back in and hurt himself.
You're absolutely right, Andy.
So that in his junior season?
I think he would have been a first-round pick. He ended up being a second-round pick.
Ridiculous records, and, I mean, he was like Reggie Bush back then.
Yeah, so he did a lot of different things in college. I think he was the SEC's all-time leading...
All-purpose yardage?
Rusher or whatever. I don't know.
He still has something ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, in a conference, by the way, that is second to none.
Pretty good now.
So Carroll wasn't impressed enough with what he saw out of Edwards that...
No, Edwards was dead.
He got hurt.
No, but I mean...
He died that February, before the draft.
Oh, why did he draft Falk?
I'm saying he was going by...
Edwards was drafted in 98, Falk was drafted in 99.
What's up?
Right.
Edwards' career ended in
February
99.
Before he drafted Falk, you already knew Edwards was gone.
Right, but he thought enough of Falk that he could be an every down back.
He did think that.
Going into that draft?
Yes.
You also thought Chris Canty could be a press corner.
Right. Wow.
Now Chris Canty's a tough kid.
And to Bucky Jones.
But I don't.
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
I'm not sure he's the only one who thought.
I don't
Kevin
think he
Falk.
Was evaluated doing the evaluation. No.
But I'm just saying. Oh, I don't
well,
even
that's
think
true too, Fred. You are right about right. that.
But
Bobby
I'm not even
Greer
saying New
charge,
England.
Right?
I guarantee you, you could have found a 60-40, 70-30 split out there of what Kevin Falk was going to be.
Right. Gary, a lot of people doing? Were very, very high on.
Gary's
Kevin
doing
Falk.
Exercises in there.
But the one thing that's
calisthenics.
Completely open to opinion.
That's relevant.
Calisthenics.
The one thing completely open to opinion is Robert Edwards, and I'm not in the camp that thinks that. I think it's a shame. I really liked Robert Edwards. I thought he was a really, really nice kid. But I am not in the camp that thinks that the Patriots missed out on this 12,000-yard back. I think he was an average running back at best.
I think he would have been a good back.
I think he had a very serviceable 1,100 yards as a rookie. I don't
Antoine
think he was
Smith,
anything.
Maybe
yes.
8 years, a couple thousand-yard season.
I don't think he was anything special at all.
4 yards
a
carry.
Okay. I really don't. I mean, I think it's a shame that we'll never find that. We never got to find that out. And
I mean, he sort of falls in with what they had. Like we mentioned, Leonard Russell.
Go back.
Sort of that good back, but not
this
great.
This is very unfair, but go back and watch the Rams game.
He got caught
in November. Yeah. And it was one of his, I think he had like 200 yards in this game. He made more bad good runs than you'll ever see. Runs that got him yardage that he didn't run well on. You know, like we see in practice all the time, Andy, and we go, wow, why did he cut there? Why didn't he go this way? He had more gaping holes to run through that he didn't maximize his yardage in that game, and I think he had 196 yards in that game.
That was his biggest game.
He had two cracks at the goal line.
That's his last game of that season.
Two cracks at the goal line that he didn't get in that were completely as a result of his bad decision. I mean, I just think he was an average guy at best. And don't forget, he didn't play running back very long. They converted him to running back at Georgia. He didn't have a lot of experience playing running back.
I think he would have gotten better, and I think he would have been a
I would hope he would get better, but I just don't think he would have been.
He could have been a top 10 back in the NFL.
Yeah, no chance.
I don't think so.
Okay. Chris in Simonelli. He says, I'm taking into account this is only one game, but what the hell is wrong with Castle and Jackson? Guys with 3 and 4 years in this system shouldn't look this bad, should they? As down as I am on the above, I'm that high on Mayo and Crable. Wow. If Mayo keeps us up, do we see him starting week one? Also, how concerned should we be with the Light and Neal injuries?
Well, I'll be more excited about Crable if I see him do it in another couple of games, because Mayo was doing it in practice and he showed up in the game. Crable just did it when he showed up in the game. I'd like to see him string a few of those together before I'm as high on Crable as I am on Mayo.
Did anybody watch the game on TV?
I watched a good portion of it. And a replay.
Because I feel comfortable talking about Crable because, you know, I was writing, Mayo, because I was writing Mayo. I watched him literally every play.
I watched Crable.
Take on guards,
I watched
take
Crable
everything.
Like that on a couple of plays. I wouldn't say all of them. One that I happened to watch him exclusively on was the interception, which that never happens for me.
But I want to know, like,
now
what
I
he
always
did at
tell
the line
you when
scrimmage.
I watch one guy, the ball goes totally the other direction.
What did he do with the line of scrimmage, the other 48 plays he was in there?
No, he did a decent job. I thought he was setting the edge like he was supposed to. He looked like Vrabel. When, you know, Vrabel's out there and setting the edge and getting a pressure off the – I thought he looked good. But I agree with Eric. Mayo, we saw do this every day.
Right.
Crable, we saw flash in the game. I'd like to see Crable do it more consistently.
But you're also comparing a number 10 overall pick with a third-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, if Crable is even in the same sentence as Mayo in 2 months or 2 years, you had a great freaking draft.
Last week we were talking about one of our emailers wrote in a quote from a Big Poppy about we're going to rape their bitches or something like that.
Yeah, he wrote back in. I talked to him.
We're wondering about whether that he was talking about David Ortiz, and he says it is a famous quote. Ortiz walked into Grady Little's office during a pre-press conference, and it is cited in Seth Nunkin's Feeding the Monster. Quote, Ortiz constantly peppered his speech with the word bitch, but he did it so good-naturedly that no one ever minded. Take the time when during one of Grady Little's pregame meetings with reporters, Ortiz stuck his head into the manager's office to give his take on how that afternoon's contest would unfold. We're going to kick their ass, drink their beer, and rape their bitches. Ortiz announced.
Classic.
Poppy is so loved he received no criticism. That's Poppy. Poppy also ends interviews by telling reporters, now go home and get some ass. I like this guy even better now. It is just Poppy's character and charm that no one is offended. But if Brady said that, Moss, Belichick, probably anyone else would be riots.
I'd love to hear Bill say that.
Poppy's a little sloppy.
Ortiz is a Pat supporter, so Fred, maybe you can join in his ass-kicking, beer-stealing, and, okay, maybe not the last one. And maybe he'll do Urban Dictionary. Gary, can you effort that?
If you get that, that would be the highlight
of
my life.
Classic if we could get him to do Urban Dictionary. I do think there's a difference, by the way. I can't say this for sure, and I did email back and forth a little bit with the gentleman who wrote that in. I think there's a difference between being quoted as saying something in a book that is generally being read by diehard Red Sox fans who aren't going to be offended by that kind of talk, as opposed to the writers in the newspaper every day and the TV reporters who play these sound bites. If they played a clip of him saying that on the 6 o'clock news,
I think you'd have over the place.
I think you'd have every battered women's shelter in America banging down the Red Sox door wondering why he's allowed to do this. I think there's a difference when you're talking about the medium in which it's presented. Mm-hmm. And again, we all know that Ortiz is, you know, a fun-loving guy, and he doesn't necessarily mean
that
stuff literally. And he does get some, you know, some slack. I think if Belichick was quoted as saying that, even in a diehard Patriots book like Patriots Reign or something like that, he probably would get more criticism for it because he's not thought of in that light. But Ortiz doesn't say things like that in front of the cameras for the 6 o'clock news and stuff like that.
And he's smart because he's doing it in a joking way in the right atmosphere.
And we all know there's a lot of Patriots guys who have been in the Red Sox clubhouse. Christopher Price has told us stories like that before in the past. John Tomasi has told us how Ortiz can be. So we know he does that.
Wrong,
it's true.
Though.
Yeah, he might have gotten it all wrong. No.
Right, no,
but we know that
like his source told him.
We know Ortiz can be like that, and he talks like that all the time. So I wasn't doubting that he said it. I just doubted that he said it on the record for the newspapers and for the TV.
And as I said to you, Paul,
and I've never seen that.
One example I gave was if Dante Stallworth said something, he gets away with it because he said a lot of weird, funny
wild
things.
Stuff.
He was
Clinton
kind
Portis.
Of a, Clinton Portis
dresses up in drag
up and all that
yeah,
crap.
That funny. Guy's weird.
It's sort of taken in the guy. Context of who you are. If you treat yourself overly seriously and say something like that, it's going to be taken seriously.
Now the good news is this, and I don't know the emailer's name. I think he calls himself Doctor.
Dr. X.
And he's in Seattle, and he has invited us, if we want to take him up on it, he's invited us to come out and hang out with him when we go out to play the Seahawks. So
I'm not a doctor.
We should set this up. He has some really interesting things in mind for us.
I'm not going to any of those bars.
What are you talking? No, he said that's no good in Seattle.
Really?
They have those ordinances that you alluded to earlier.
those laws?
TG and NJ writes in, welcome, Mike. I think I'm finally over the Super Bowl loss. It's weird. It was the interview of Jeff Schoate that made me realize it. He was talking about how he doesn't mention his Super Bowl ring he got last year to the rest of his new teammates. He was on the practice squad of the Giants last year. But some of those new teammates already have a Super Bowl ring. Some even have two or three. Mike, when I heard you were coming on board and that you were a Giants fan, I was surprised that Fred would even consider you after how last season ended. But now being down here in the New York, New Jersey area, and especially now with Brett and Jet, it amazes me that the Giants are getting no love at all. They win the big game, and they still get no respect. It seems that I have more faith in the G-Men than most New York fans, and I'm a Pats fan. The team that won the Super Bowl deserved to win it. Congratulations, Mike. Here's to the Giants who get no respect. Here's to the Patriots whom everyone hates. Screw the rest of the league. We'll take care of our conference. You take care of yours. And let's meet again in the big game for a rematch. And we'll see about getting Jeff Schoate another Super Bowl ring.
Can I just say
okay,
something?
Is Fred standing in his chair waving pom-poms already? Yes.
Can I interject there?
Go.
They've gotten plenty of respect for winning the game last year. Everybody credits them for what they did, and they've gotten all the respect in the world. But that does not mean they're the number one team this year. This is not college basketball where you win a national title, you're number one in the rankings the following season. It's not how it works. They're not one of the top ten maybe one of the top ten. They're not one of the top five best teams in the league.
But you are that rare fan.
Yeah, the emailer made a mistake not realizing that.
Because I hate all my teams and all my players.
You're not a
pom-pom
waiver.
No, I'm not, but I'm telling you how it is. They've lost a lot of players. They've lost a lot of important players on defense, and they weren't one of the top five teams last year going into the postseason. So why is it any different now? Because of what they did in one game?
But most fans are... You know.
Also, Schoate's very smart not to parade his ring around, just like I'm not going to hang any Giants pictures in my cubicle.
Yeah,
so I know better. We both know better.
Yet.
We'll blend it in.
I wouldn't do that.
I had to tell him to get that Plaxico one down, Fred.
It wasn't even up.
Well, I remember
that's a bad quote. Sorry. I know where that's going.
When Brian Morey first started working, we were at the old Foxborough Stadium, and his cube literally was – all the cubes were right outside Robert Kraft's office. So he walks in one day, and – Brian has this big picture of Mark McGuire on his cue. And Mr. Kraft walks, what's this? Like that, and that was gone. So
he supported a steroid.
So the Jabba picture is a no-go.
No, we don't want that. Although, I don't know, maybe Yankee pictures might be good. You never know. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be here on Thursday. Thursday's the last public practice today in about a half an hour, outdoors. I guess. Do we have any weather updates?
It looked sunny when I went up to get lunch an hour ago.
So come on down. Three more days to get some live Patriots practice here at Gillette Stadium. We will see you on Thursday at noon.
For great football talk, insight, and a little bit of humor, tune in to PFW in Progress.
Where nobody sucks, except for Flanders.
Patriots.com Radio.